Okay. Tokyo.
South America.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Yes, indeed. Here we are at the end of the first full week of June 2020. It is the fifth day of June 2020. This is The Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And hopefully, when you go there, that's where you'll go to get the live stream. That's also where you go for your podcasting needs. All the podcasting platforms that we can imagine, or that being that mouse in my pocket, no, Brother Deacon Asa. All the podcasting platforms that he can get his hands on, he keeps adding to headon.live. It's also the home of the Horn Chat Room, the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place, that is such, during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time, and 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and all the great globe around. Yes. If you pop by right here this very instant, you'll be met by the early arrivers. That would be Anatole and House of Roberts and Roger and Squeaky. All capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space today to become Man Cave. Yes. Also popping in for the time being, Brother Deacon Asa. So, looks like a good. More folks will be wandering by, but it's just a great way to augment your listening experience. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Bob, and it is, of course, Friday on the front porch, which means here in about, 55 minutes or so, we will gather together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, and wherein we keep the extraordinary ordinary round table around which we gather. If you want to be part of the conversation, and I heartily invite you to do so, just run over to headon.live. And click on the big Skype link at the very top of the page. It's really obvious and hard to miss. And, of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. Thanks going out to our fifth day of the month subscribers. Thanks to Kevin and Bernice and Lauren in far Canada. Thank you to Kenda in Missouri. Thank you to James in Illinois. Thank you, Roberto. And thank you for a partial sponsorship this evening, courtesy of our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest. She wanted to wanted me to close the program out in a particular fashion, and I will do everything in my power to make that happen. So basically, what it boils down to is the fundraising goal for this evening is $150 to finish the week, and if we can wipe that out, we will have a clean slate to begin the second full week of June with. Come more in Monday. Oh, I like that. a little graphic in the chat room, courtesy of Otto. Otto has popped in. Elect Rand Paul's neighbor, U.S. Senate. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Of course, the hour, or however long I filibobster this evening, Well, we got ugliness, we got meanness, and we got wackadoodle maggots. Right now, and just before before I hit all the buttons to make the program go, I was apparently Clorox Claudius has taken the shit show on the road. He's in Maine, and yeah, I know the feeling. Steve in New York just said you couldn't have gotten on the air in any more timely fashion. Steve says, I was about to explode. Your voice couldn't have come soon enough. Circumstances turned my anger to 11. I'm asking myself why we should not be fighting back, whatever that means. And I get that. It is infuriating. Like I said just moments ago, COVID Caligula chastised the governor of Maine for not sacrificing more Mainers on the altar of his political ambitions, demanding that Maine open up regardless of whether or not it is safe to do so. And hint, it ain't safe to do so. Now, this country is opening up, but here in a month, 2 months' time, we're going to be COVID spiking all over the place. Among other things, there is data out there that shows that particularly in the Confederate states, there's an ugly, ugly outbreak of coronavirus. And it is hitting young people particularly hard. It's nasty indeed. I mean, this isn't imaginary, and it's hard to hide. Just downright terrifying. Trying to find, there it is. According to the Daily Beast, at the beginning of the week, as a matter of fact, the Daily Beast reported that service industries and primarily in the service industries where younger Americans work for worse wages, they've gone back to work. And even before the civil fury that erupted over the police murder of George Floyd, epidemiologists and virologists were saying that things are about to get ugly. Dr. Judith Malmgren, interviewed by the Daily Beast from the University of Washington School of Public Health, said, "Watch what's happening before and after the peak. The disease didn't change, but the people who were infected changed." And beginning in early May in Washington State, fully half of new daily infections were discovered in people under the age of 40. And that's a big, big, big demographic change from what we have or what we had before. In Washington State, where Dr. Malmgren was researching, she and her colleagues found a case peak on March 22nd in Washington State. And then it started down the other side of the mountain, down the slope. But then it was just a few weeks long, and then it began to plateau, averaging about 200 coronavirus cases per day. And in those daily cases, analyzing the demographic data, they discovered that 39% of the confirmed cases in Washington were among people 20 to 39 years old, and another 11% were among those under 19. And Dr. Erwin Redlener further noted in the same article that the gradual reopenings in the U.S. created what he described as a delusion of normalcy. Delusion indeed. He said, if what's happening in Washington becomes true nationally, we have a problem. Every state and federal government needs to be following this very, very closely. And you'd think he probably knows what he's talking about because he's the director of the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at Columbia University. But then again, the guy who's occupying the White House, the chief executive of the nation, doesn't really much give a damn. He doesn't care how many Mainers he kills. He threw a temper tantrum at North Carolina over the fact that they wouldn't let maggots into the Charlotte arena, asshole to belly button. Truly, Donald Trump has become some sort of vile, bloodthirsty goon thriving on human suffering. I suspect he's always been that way to one degree or another. But this is grim and serious. Hey, we're off and running in good form. Thank you to Billable Rick, and thank you to Lady B for getting us started. So that gets us down to 1:30. That's hugely helpful. Political question coming from Steve in New York. I'm finding the places where Trump is visiting very odd, especially at this time in an election year. If not for a legit fear of a fiddled-with electoral process, I would see this as further evidence that he is, even at this point, trying to shore up his base. What do you think? Maine and Nebraska are the two states that split their delegates. So he's trying to find some hair's breadth means of getting over the Electoral College line. But most of the polling data looks like he's slipping further and further behind in the polls. That's why he was blathering away in Maine about how the jobs numbers that came out today that showed that we're only at 13%, well, 13 point something percent unemployment is some sort of a victory for him.
Nobody was expecting that. I was surprised by it.
Then again, you know, he's surprised that his nose is still on his face when someone plays Got Your Nose with him. But suddenly 13.3 or whatever it is percent of them, the American people being out of work is a good thing for him.
And, you know,
that's how he led into asking Mainers to throw themselves on his blood-soaked altar for his benefit.
You know, those numbers, they don't even account for the states that haven't reopened yet. I don't know what's wrong with these states. It doesn't take into account New York and New Jersey. They haven't opened yet. I think New York is maybe going to start opening a little bit today. But what's with Maine? Why aren't you open?
And, of course, it was met with barks and shrills and grunts of approval from the maggots in attendance. He literally wants people dead. What a horror. Yeah, Steve says, all them jobs, them 2.5 million jobs were in the high-paying hospitality industry. Because it doesn't seem like we've gotten very far along the road yet in terms of hiring contact tracers. No. And he blathered on it.
Soon we will have done 20 million tests. How about that? That's more tests than anybody else in the whole universe under God forever, America, MAGA.
God damn, he's an idiot. It's almost past expression. As for New York reopening, Lee, curiously enough, in New York, says it all starts on Monday, partial reopening, June the 8th. And then we'll have spikes there, too. Lee adding, Maine, let me guess, Susan Collins will express her concern about Trump's remarks, then she'll do everything Moscow Mitch tells her to do. That sounds par for the course. How about that? Shorty in L.A. Letting us know that Alexis Ohanian Sr., the Reddit co-founder, has resigned in solidarity with George Floyd protesters and asked to be replaced by a person of color. He says it's long overdue to do the right thing. He said, I'm doing this for me, for my family, and for my country. It was an act of patriotism. I'm sure you've heard, says Ron in Raleigh, for the first time in history, The Lancet has withdrawn an article. The magazine has withdrawn its condemnation of the use of hydrochloroquine in the treatment of COVID-19. Why do you think they did that? They didn't suggest that it was okay to use it. They just withdrew their article. Ooh, well, probably because The Lancet is a British publication, and it is much easier to sue for libel and slander there than it is here. That's my best guess. Ron also noting, hey, Bob, I've found the answer. On several times I've asked, what are white people afraid of? I believe I've found it. The answer. The answer is everyone that is not them. I've been listening to people make statements that a thoughtful person would never utter. Joe Stasniak, a former Indianapolis Colts player who now co-hosts a talk show, said that black people need to stop playing victims, that kneeling in front of the flag is treason, and that what he calls the Confederate is not racist, and also black people need to get a second job and get educated. Quarterback Drew Brees said essentially the same thing. And not long after, I saw a photograph of Drew Brees and his wife. And who are they hanging out with? Why, of course, they're sitting right next to Clorox Claudius and melanoma, as if they were just neighbors. And melanoma and Mrs. Brees passed recipes across the backyard fence whilst hanging out their laundry on warm spring afternoons. I got a feeling melanoma wouldn't know what to do. Well, she might know something you could do with a clothespin. But it has nothing to do with laundry. Ron says, most white people have no idea what the lives of black people are like, yet somehow they feel they have the right to comment on what the conditions for black people in the U.S. are like. I've come to the realization when white people say that they aren't racist, it's because they don't recognize it when they themselves are racist. Governor Cuomo said that people are disrespecting the police and it shouldn't be tolerated. He said he hasn't seen any attacks on peaceful demonstrators by police. Mayor Bill de Blasio, Bill de Blasio, has said the same thing. We're in a quasi-police state and it will only get worse. The Democratic Party is sitting on its collective hands because its leadership is more aligned with the investor class and conservatives, I fervently hope. That Nancy Pelosi and Chuck are thrown out of office. Well, you can hope in one hand, and well, you know what happens in the other, Ron. She's not going anywhere. And as much as I would love to see Chuck Schumer not be the Senate Majority Leader, if the Democrats can get the Senate majority, that's probably going to be a tall climb too, because the same thing applies to Chuck Schumer as once applied to Harry Reid. The reason the Democrats in the Senate loved having Harry Reid for their leader was specifically because he did not tell them what to do. He did not lead. He was just the head butterfly wrangler. And all the Democrats just fluttered around and, you know, until they lost their majority. I mean, that's how it works. Today, June the 5th, is two anniversaries in one. This is, if I'm not mistaken, the anniversary of the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. What a horror. And it's also, well, it would have been the 27th birthday of a young woman by the name of Breonna Taylor. She was drawing nearer her 27th birthday when three cops from Louisville, in plain clothes, with a no-knock warrant, looking for an individual who was already in custody, broke down the door on the wrong address and slaughtered Breonna Taylor in her bed. And there are still no charges against them. One of them having taken a Florida vacation. On the taxpayer dime, of course, because he was on paid administrative leave pending investigation of the slaughter of Breonna Taylor. Jesus. Kyle was early to the frustration today. I know it's only 1:25 in the afternoon, but I heard what asshole said, and goddammit, I fucking hate that piece of shit. What the fuck does he think we're protesting for? Oh, wait, Bunker Boy is too busy hiding to see what the fuck is going on. Excuse him for not knowing. Jesus Christ, I hate that fucker. Because one of the other things that happened today is that upon announcing the great, wonderful, incredible economic numbers, he then said, George Floyd would be so very proud of these economic numbers today. Shit you not, he did. He really, really, really did. Kyle had a nice little moment today at work, though. Says, I just witnessed a cool moment I won't forget. It happened to me. I'm working today and wearing my pride mask, as usual. Middle-aged white guy with a southern accent, I hate to stereotype, but someone you think would be a typical conservative. Well, he finished paying for his order, then grabbed a candy bar, paid for it, gave it to me, and said, we need you all fueled up for the fight for equal justice. In rural Southwest Ohio, where we'd vote for an actual serial killer so long as they were a Republican. You know, you can't make a hell of a lot of assumptions behind the cornpone curtain. We're out there. We're just not always so terribly visible. Meanwhile, from Joey, Bob, my wife and I were sitting on a park bench in D.C. last Sunday when all of a sudden three young women walked by with some very poignant signs supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. I jumped off the park bench and asked the young ladies if I could take a picture of their signs. They obliged and then said they were going to march on their own over by Lafayette Park. I asked them if I could go with them on the march, and they were thrilled that I wanted to walk with them and support them. I yelled to my wife to come along as we were going to march. She shot me this stare that, if looks could kill, as she did not see the thrill of me marching with those young girls. My wife acquiesced, and soon we headed over to the park for a short march on H Street, right across the street from St. John's Church, west over to 17th and south to Constitution. Very short walk, only about a half a mile. I yelled to the people near the park that we were going on a protest march, not expecting anybody to care or even follow my direction. Wow, was I wrong. The next thing I knew, dozens of people, some with signs, came over and joined the young lady leaders with their signs. We were not supposed to go out on the road because we did not have a permit to march, but as we started marching out of nowhere, it seemed several people joined our group. I was amazed at the energy that was fostered by this spontaneous impromptu event. What really astonished me was that most of the people in the march were white, you know, Caucasian. Tears began to well up in my eyes as I realized how many good people of my persuasion actually existed. As we turned to walk south down 17th Street, our little crowd began to swelter and pour out into 17th. At first, I thought we were all going to be in trouble, but in the words of Mike Malloy, I thought to myself, fuck it, I'm going into the street with all the other marchers. I hate to say this, but I began to feel the sense of white privilege and the feeling law enforcement would not bother us because we were white, and I was right, because nobody bothered us. As we marched, we chanted four different phrases. We started with hands up, don't shoot, then on to I can't breathe, followed up by if black lives don't matter, no lives matter. We then finished with say their names. People were trying to drive on 17th Street during our short protest, and amazingly, not one driver was negative, as a few of the drivers even honked their horns and gave us the thumbs up in support of our efforts. One elderly gentleman got out of his car and began chanting along with us. I was so touched and proud to be a part of something so ephemeral but so impactful. As we approached Constitution Avenue and the end of the protest, I began to take inventory of all the marchers, and I counted over 100 people in that group. After the march, I thanked my wife for her support in the protest for Black Lives Matter, and she said, I was not protesting for Black Lives Matter. I was protesting you following those young girls. Oh, well, we all have our causes, I guess. Just then, Giraffrey's words of wisdom came to mind. Tell her she's young and pretty, too. It worked, and Giraffrey and I lived to protest another day. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 5th day of June, with words of wisdom from Giraffrey. Gotta be smart, Joey. Gotta be smart. It's a beautiful thing when you get to feel that energy of common cause and purpose, especially the kind that engenders something these days resembling hope. Flavio with a note, no, it's not safe yet. For instance, the Spanish flu pandemic in the U.S. and other nations had three distinct waves, the spring of 1918, the autumn of 1918, and the winter of 1918-1919. That's what pandemics do. They do the wave. And the wave is now pulsing through Flavio's natal land. Jair Bolsonaro, who said this was just a little flu, now has the fourth highest death total from COVID-19 and climbing. Brazil will soon surpass Italy, and then it'll be on to take second place away from Great Britain, and then there will be nothing standing between them and us except the brutal incompetence of Nitwit Nero. James in Illinois with a Susan Collins note. Look for Susan to actually cast a vote against the majority on some meaningless piece of garbage bill to show her feigned independence. Fuck her and the pig she rode in on. Well, no thanks, and not even with yours, James, but just the same, rather than that, how about we just kind of hope that the Mainers will come to their senses this November. Thank you, Jeremy, for jumping alongside. We got $125 to go to finish the night now. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. Steve in New York says, I'm proud of my state. Anyone who took part in protests can get a COVID test. That would seem wise. Wise indeed. Oh, and the answer to the withdrawing of the article, Steve saw this earlier, and he said, I thought I emailed it to you. Maybe you did. I've been having a hard time just keep holding focus, I confess. The Lancet withdrew the article because the company providing the data apparently had corrupted databases, and the company had no statisticians or medical people running it. The company is Surgisphere. Yeah, I'll be darned. As to Brazil, Jeremy says, don't worry. Rest assured, we'll keep our total as number one in COVID infections and deaths. See the fucking death yam. Yeah, but he's going to, you know, he's got another little fascist snapping at his heels. Never, never, ever underestimate the power of a fascist leader to fuck his country up. And that includes Jair Bolsonaro. And as far as the death toll from the Trump pandemic, Scott says, last Friday I made a prediction about when I thought the COVID-19 death toll would double from 100,000 to 200,000. I don't remember whether it was during the front porch segment or the off-air chatting afterwards, which I highly recommend. But I said I thought the butcher's bill tally would hit 200K on July the 28th. And speaking of death, here's one, Scott continues. Let me preface this announcement by saying I ordinarily would not revel at news of the passing of someone, but in this case I'll make an exception. From the New York Times, Lewis Sheldon, anti-gay minister with political clout, dies at 85. Founder of the Traditional Values Coalition, he railed against what he called the homosexual agenda, gaining the ear of national politicians. I hope, says Scott, with the sincere determination of a 5-year-old putting his freshly lost tooth under the pillow for the tooth fairy to replace it with a bright, shiny quarter, that if there is an afterlife, that it will be wholly unlike anything Lewis Sheldon was expecting. Instead, let's hope he'll spend eternity in a poorly lit, cold, dirty Greyhound station in a bad part of town. And I further hope his bus never arrives. Fucker. That's a quality curse. It most certainly is, Scott. Oh, and by the way, Lee wishing us all a ruining dinner acceptably for a change in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Happy National Donut Day. There were big donut deals all over the country today. Oh, and Muriel Bowser, the mayor of Washington, D.C., she has her trolling game is strong. The plaza and the street in front of the White House have been designated by Muriel Bowser's mayoral administration in Washington, D.C., a section of 16th Street in front of the White House. Is now officially called Black Lives Matter Plaza. She announced it on Twitter today, shared a video as the sign was installed, and then she also had the words Black Lives Matter painted on the street leading up to the White House, where protests have been raging since the police killing of George Floyd last week. John Falchiccio, the chief of staff for Muriel Bowser, he tweeted, there was a dispute this week about whose street this is. Mayor Bowser wanted to make it abundantly clear that this is D.C. Street and to honor demonstrators who were peacefully protesting Monday evening. That's impressive. That'll have Trump for brains and pissing and moaning. I've got one of those compare and contrast things that I run across from time to time. File this one under A Tale of Two Septuagenarians. We will start in East Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's true. Let me back up for a second. Stephen, New York, says subject line, Mayor Bowser. If ever anyone deserved a cowbell, that is Major League Triple Crown Golden Glove winning trolling. I agree. Cowbell awarded. Steve also pointing out, because this is Pride Month, Lou Sheldon, and he's sitting in a waiting room full of drag queens. With me having learned the lesson that Rudy Giuliani is not a drag queen. Thank you for the reminder, Matt. Rudy Giuliani is a man in a dress. Jesus God. So like I said, viral Vespasian was in Maine today. And there in Guilford, Maine, they greeted him with a great big Trump sign. And, wait for it, the devil's diaper, the Confederate battle flag. In Maine. Maine, from whence a young professor by the name of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain told a bit of a fib to slip away from his professorship at Bowdoin College and went off with his brother to become a Union Army officer with the 20th Maine. His use of a little-known infantry maneuver at the Battle of Little Round Top in 1863 would prove pivotal in turning the traitors back from being able to overrun and flank the Union lines on the high ground. He would be promoted. He would be shot. He would be shot up during the war, and eventually he would become, at one point in time, the most famous Mainer ever, even reaching the heights of the governorship of that state. And now, today, that state, his home state, that gave so much blood to save the Union, welcomed Donald Trump with a filthy Confederate flag. Sickening. Just sickening. But a tale of two septuagenarians. First, in East Grand Rapids, Michigan, a 75-year-old woman stood in the middle of the street in East Grand Rapids and waved a baseball bat at Black Lives Matter protesters, decrying the death of George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd. 75-year-old Carla Anderson said, "I just simply stated, you know, you're not going to burn down East." There was no indication that anyone had any intention of setting fire to anything in East Grand Rapids. But 75-year-old Carla Anderson probably watches a steady diet of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda from the comfort of her Barca lounger. And she knows what those people are, and there's probably some of those in Antifa party people, and I got a ball bat. The whole thing was caught by WOOD TV in East Grand Lansing. Really, Bob? Yeah. So that's one septuagenarian stepping out into the mean streets of East Grand Rapids to protect the decent, God-fearing white people of that city against the marauding supporters of Black Lives Matter. A far cry from the septuagenarian in Buffalo, New York. I've watched the video time after time. Agnes saw it too and was just sickened by it. 75-year-old Martin Gugino was protesting peacefully when, I'm finding it very difficult not to use an old term for law enforcement that comes down to us from the 60s and 70s. It involves oinking. Well, okay, I'm sorry, I don't have to do that. When a group of violent thugs with guns and other weapons bowled him over, shoved him, pushed him backwards, causing him to fall backwards unsupported, and in the video you can hear his skull pop when it strikes the hard concrete of the pavement. And then the cops just march on by. One of them babbles into his little shoulder mic or something. Another cop thinks about reaching down to perhaps check on him, but another cop stops him from doing that because that's just, you know, checking on the people that they may have just killed is not who they are. When asked about it, the Buffalo Police Department responded that, one person was injured during the protest when he tripped and fell. Maybe that was before they knew there was video of it. But there was. Two of these bold, brave, macho, violent thugs shoved Martin Gugino. Again, he's 75 years old, and he has tried to make his life count. He's been active with a group called Plowshares. Plowshares is an anti-nuke group that has done things like infiltrating nuclear submarine bases to protest the proliferation of nuclear arms and the intersection of the police state, the massive military industrial congressional complex, and the potential for eliminating life on Earth. Plowshares is a good and decent group. And so, because they're a good and decent group, and because he's a good and decent human being, at 75 years old, when he really didn't have to be out, he was out. And these thugs, or TIBs, as Steve in New York calls them, terrorists in blue, bowled him over, cracked his skull, and he is now in a hospital in serious but stable condition. It's disgusting. Two of the violent thugs. Now notice, compare and contrast. Peacekeepers shoved Martin Gugino to the ground, causing him to crack his skull. On the video, you can see the blood beginning to flow onto the pavement from what they have just done to him. Yeah, the people charged with the duty of protecting and serving the people of Buffalo did that. On the other hand, the 75-year-old cranky lady in East Grand Rapids shows up with a ball bat because she's scared shitless of peaceful protesters who were posing no threat to her whatsoever, but she had had her racism primed to a tender turn. by the pro-fascist white-wing media in this country. So the two violent thugs who shoved Martin Gugino were suspended pending investigation. And all 57 officers of the Buffalo Police Department Emergency Response Team, you know, that's the knee breakers and the skull crackers, obviously, and the enforcers, all 57 members quit. No, they didn't quit the police department. Why would they give up a cushy job like that? They got benefits and a cop union, and if they happen to blow somebody away, they'll have the best lawyer, the best cop defense lawyer in New York State, and it'll never cost them a penny. But they did resign from the emergency response team. Good. Maybe Buffalo doesn't need an emergency response team. The president of the Buffalo Cop Union, however, is some twerp by the name of John Evans, and he offered up the 2020 edition of the Nuremberg defense. Let's see if it sounds better with an accent. John Evans offered up an excuse in a public statement and declared, 57 resigned in disgust because of the treatment of two of their members who were simply executing 75-year-olds. I mean, orders. That's 57 cops who don't need to be cops. That's 57 cops who don't need to be anywhere near any sort of exercise of power over other citizens. That's 57 violent thugs. They were only doing their jobs. They were only following orders. Fire them. The good people of Buffalo, New York, don't need people like that in their community carrying guns and bully clubs, hiding behind helmets and shields and masks. As Flavio says, these guys are all fascists. Really. Governor Cuomo said today that Buffalo should take appropriate steps toward terminating the two officers. How about terminating the other 57 while we're at it? Now, what's that, Scott? Did I hear you correctly, Bob? Scott asks. He was greeted by folks in the Pine Tree State with a big Trump sign and the stars and bars. Why didn't they just go all out for a triple play and take a knee? I don't mean that in a Colin Kaepernick sense or even a Derek Chauvin sense. More like a Trump genuflect sense. Oh, I'm sure some did. Jeremy, subject line, Antifa. I literally put someone in their place today for claiming Antifa is a fascist far right wing hate group. I calmly laid out articles about FBI, no evidence of Antifa protests, and also that Nazis were posing as them to hide, like the swine they are, his reply to facts.
Well, they use the same tactics, face masks.
You cannot reason with someone who does not have any interest in reason. There's a suggestion. That'd get his blood boiling real good, nitwit Nero. James in Illinois suggests, how about Antifa Avenue to replace Pennsylvania Avenue? Make Congress break down an endless debate over who is for and who is against fascism. Well, hell, they couldn't even get unanimous consent on a condemnation of lynching. in the Senate of the United States. Because old Mitch McConnell ain't sure that sometimes there's just some people out there need lynched. Sickening. Oh, and this from the Goddess of Irony files. I try not to be superstitious, but you see shit like this, and sometimes you're almost tempted to think that that there really is something to this metaphysical stuff. It was a little bit after midnight in Washington, D.C., and a pair of National Guard troops were standing post or duty or marching up and down the square or whatever the fuck they do. And a lightning bolt struck Lafayette Square outside the White House. Two of those National Guard troops were struck by that lightning bolt. And a booming yet nasal voice in the sky was heard to say, "Missed him by that much." The two guardsmen were treated for serious but non-life-threatening injuries. Because it feels like we should be able to play this game, too. I mean, if a hurricane comes along and blows away a southern city, there's always some good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republican out there to declare that the gays done ginned up another hurricane. Well, sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. I mean, maybe that was a sign to, you know, disobey illegal orders because no oath-sworn member of the United States military, whether National Guard or regular military, has any obligation to obey an illegal order, and any orders that were given to gas American citizens on American soil, to shoot at them with tear gas and pepper spray, was, by definition, an illegal order. And now, just to try to catch up and keep up with all the Lulu, down to Texas, where the chairman of the Behar County Republican Party, a woman by the name of Cynthia Brames, I got guts, no more Brames, B-R-E-H-M, Cynthia Brame declared that George Floyd had his murder staged in order to hurt Donald Trump's election chances. Take a minute and just let that rattle around.
Subject, tell me what you think. Subject, George Floyd, a staged event. Staged event? These officers were involved with something. I'm not sure exactly what, but something is just not adding up. Also, that supposed officer is now missing from his home, where no one, where no one has seen him. Nowhere to be found. Has the smell of MK Ultra activation. I think this is at very least the possibility that this was a filmed public execution of a black man by a white cop with the purpose of creating racial tensions and driving a wedge in the growing group of anti-deep state sentiment from common people that have already been psychologically traumatized by COVID-19 fears. Historically, in election years and in politically contested areas or in groups, racial or gun violence incidents are becoming commonplace. considering the rise in approval rating of President Trump in the black community, an event like this was unfortunately predictable.
Yeah, the rising approval rating of Donald Trump in the black community, all the way up to 8%, maybe. You know, within the margin of error. Which may mean it's more like 4%. Mm-hmm. Now, she is a wackadoodle, Cynthia Brim, Republican Party chair of Behar County, Texas. Does the Republican Party have any standards at all for chairing one of their county groups? She's also a conspiracy goober over the coronavirus. It's staged. It's a Democratic hoax. Well, John Whitman is Governor Greg Abbott's communications director, and he jumped right in as soon as this statement was made. These comments are disgusting and have no place in the Republican Party or in public discourse. Cynthia Brim should immediately resign her position as chair of the Behar County Republican Party because she said the quiet part out loud. Well, I added that part, but that's what it is. If she just could have kept her stupid, paranoid, hateful bullshit to herself, she could have gone on being Behar County Republican chair for about as long as she wanted to. But instead, well, she started talking like all the maggots talk when they think nobody's listening. Crazy. I think you're crazy. But she has friends. And the friends have friends. In fact, I'm looking at a photograph right now of the Harrison County, Texas Republican Party. A genius by the name of Lee Lester. Who shared Cynthia Brame's conspiracy theory on his Facebook page, agreeing that somehow George Floyd managed to stage his own murder. And in the photo that I'm looking at, Harrison County, Texas Republican Party Chairman Lee Lester is posing with none other than Texas 1st District Congressman Louis Asparagus Gohmert. Well, once Greg Abbott called for Cynthia Brim to resign, Lee Lester went back and tweaked his sharing of Cynthia Brame's post. I am editing this post to say that I didn't say I believed all this. What my intentions are is to say that I wasn't there to witness any of this to be able to say what happened. I do believe we need to discuss the protocol of our police, but I know that they can now make movies to show anything. The officers have been charged. We have a judicial system to get the facts. Let's see what the system comes up with before we decide what we believe.
What, Edith, huh?
I just want people to think for themselves. And I think Louis Asparagus Gohmert, one of the greatest statesmen Texas has ever produced. Probably the second greatest since Sam Houston. Now, I added all that. Damn, you know. Where do they find these people? And then one more for Texas. Saw this earlier, and
Sparky sent it along. Downtown McAllen, Texas, a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical fundamentalist Christian didn't have his gun handy, but there was some Black Lives Matter protesters, and he might not have had his Freedom Protector handy, but, well, you know, when chainsaws are outlawed, only outlaws will have chainsaws.
Oh!
Oh!
Oh! Don't let those fucking niggas up there fool you. Don't let this fucking trash, the Antifa bullshit people fool you. Don't let these fandacos right here. Don't let these fucking assholes lie to you. Don't let them lie to you. This is a valley.
Yeah, special, huh? People peaceably on the sidewalk, and he menaces them with a chainsaw that he starts. I mean, it is Texas, and it's a chainsaw, and, oh, Jesus. Then there was Newport Beach, California, where Wednesday afternoon during a Black Lives Matter protest, a white guy with no shirt on pulled a pistol and it pointed it at a protester. He pointed it at the protester as he was screaming, "Black lives don't matter!" He waved the pistol at him and then ran away. Police are looking for the man. In a press release, the police said, the suspect and victim were involved in a verbal altercation when the suspect brandished a black handgun from his backpack and fled from the area. Because they were in a verbal altercation. I don't think the altercation's verbal when the pistol gets pulled. I think it stops being verbal there. Well, I'm in trouble with Jeremy. Damn it! Now, Bob, you've done it again. I grew up to that song. I think it still is one of my grandma's favorite country songs, Patsy Cline. Well, I was thinking of Patsy Cline, crazy, but then it morphed into Gnarls Barkley, which I suspect you probably also like. I think you're crazy. I think you're crazy. Bill O'Rick says, Bob, stop gooning on the fine, white, rich as fuck assholes in Newport Beach. I saw a picture of the guy. I'm guessing he's not a member of the Newport Beach Civitans, Billable. Ron in Raleigh says, can you say Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Would a chainsaw be considered a weapon under the Second Amendment? I'm asking for a lumberjack friend. Well, he's a lumberjack, and he's okay. He sleeps all night, and he works all day. Cuts down trees, he eats his lunch, and he goes to the lavatory. Steve pointing out that logically, if Obama can stage his own birth, then certainly George Floyd could stage his own murder. Lou pointing out, breaking news, the daily average for new coronavirus cases in the U.S. has been increasing slightly in recent days, with counts rising in the South and West. More states have seen an increase in new virus cases over the past 2 weeks than have seen a decline, according to the New York Times database.
Stop ruining perfectly good songs, Bob.
That's actually pretty fair. And that comes from Lee in New York. Really, really, Todd? When are you going to start playing the banjo on air, Bob? Quick as I learn the banjo. You know when I'm going to learn the banjo, Todd? Never. You know what the difference is between a banjo and an onion? Nobody cries when you cut up a banjo. And Brother Deacon Asa with an observation. You may have heard the accent of the guy with the chainsaw. It's utterly shocking to me how many Hispanic people think they'll be admitted to the club if only they use the same filthy, vile language towards other minorities as Klansmen do. Get it through your skull, Pendejo. They don't consider you to be white. No, no, they don't. Corona hoax. Nutball in Behar County. Stephen, New York says, a staged Democratic hoax, huh? So, the party that can't put together a campaign to criticize Trump still need the Lincoln Project to run those great ads have perpetrated a hoax in 189 countries and territories around the world. Son of a gun. I know. And speaking of the Lincoln Project, they're doing everything in their power to stoke the stroke. This is an unpaid ad placement, but it's pretty powerful.
When Donald Trump came out of hiding this week, he didn't do it to bring us together or heal the nation. He wasn't there to offer words of calm and comfort. Instead, he became what we always feared, evoked the worst of our past, threatened our governors and states. He ordered our own soldiers who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan to flood the streets, instructing them to turn against Americans, used churches and the Holy Bible as political props. He didn't invoke the Lord to give us wisdom, but to boost his polls. Ordered an attack on unarmed protesters using gas, rubber bullets, and flash grenades. Washington transformed into a war zone for this coward. This is a time for choosing. America or Trump?
It's true. You can't have both. You can have one or the other. But definitely not both. And that's the second ad this week. They've been hammering him remorselessly, relentlessly. And I gotta say I heartily approve. Before that, it was the, and there's a certain irony to it because lo and behold, there it was. Yeah, there it was in Maine.
The men who followed this flag 150 years ago knew what it meant. Treason against their country. The death of the United States. America defeated the men who followed that flag. Those with honor surrendered and cast it aside forever. So why does it keep showing up today at events supporting Donald Trump? And why does he call the folks who carry it very fine people?
I think there's blame on both sides, but you also had people that were very fine people.
What does it say that they're all in for Trump? What does it say that he won't condemn a flag of hate, division, and losers?
Will not replace us!
For us, it says this is a time for choosing America or Trump.
Powerful, I'm telling you. Oh, let's see here. So I've actually over filibustered by about 10 minutes. My sincere apologies. But it's about time we gathered around the extraordinary, ordinary round table in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And let me check in on Twitter real quick while I'm waiting for the connection to come. Yep, forgot to turn that audio off. Or turn that pot down. Good. So we're connected now. Again, a reminder, if you'd like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, just run over to headon.live and click on the link there at the top of the main page, and you'll be right in there. Yeah, Flavio reminds me there's one more of these things. A guy on a bike in a park in Montgomery County, Maryland, on a trail, assaulted a group of children who were putting up posters in support of Black Lives Matter. And now Maryland National Capitol Police are looking to have the public's help identifying the man, and they've got a really good full facial photo of him with a high visibility orange bike helmet, I think gray shirt, black cycling pants. I could tell from the audio, the clack 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 of him walking, that he was wearing the biking shoes with the toe clips, or the pegs, or whatever the fuck it is. Kids were posting flyers in memory of George Floyd, and the guy comes up to them, starts arguing with them, grabs flyers out of a little girl's hands, charged one of the kids, apparently stole her phone, and then assaulted another kid who was videoing the whole thing. It happened around 12:45 p.m. this past Monday near the Dallacaria Tunnel on the Capitol Crescent Trail in Montgomery County. It's quite popular. Described as white male, 6 feet tall, medium build, between 50 and 60 years old. They say red bike helmet. It looked awfully high visibility orange to me. Gray t-shirt, black shorts, sunglasses, riding a white bicycle. They left out one thing, his accent. It's funny how things loop around. You remember when we were talking about Rodney Howard Brown trying to spread the virus at his dirty little mega church down in Florida, Tampa Bay area? And we remarked upon his accent, and I originally thought it was Australian, but it wasn't. It's South African. Well, I try to learn from my mistakes, and I'm beginning to think dude on the bicycle was South African, which in a way fits with certain biases, especially if he's somewhere north of 50 years old. That means he was alive during apartheid and might be prone to objecting to people of color seeking justice. But there's no mention in the story of the accent that can be heard on the video. Now, if you look, and you know what, Jimmy in New Zealand, Robert in Australia, any angry architect, our other Australian friends, John Fox, if you're there, just look up man attacks kids on Capitol Crescent Trail. You'll find the video. Listen carefully. There's only a few words, but nobody's going to put on a dummied up accent in that kind of moment. I'd be curious, because nobody identifies not my accent like people who speak it. Does he sound South African to you? If you're listening, I'd love to have your take. So it's I've been Philip Bobstering for an hour and 15 minutes. We got $125 to go to finish the week of the first week of June, And let's run over and see what's going on with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob. I can hear myself.
It should probably resolve in a moment. I think that's Skype.
Okay, No, it's not doing it.
Well, I mean, there's only one channel up. It sometimes takes a minute or two.
Okay. Well, I'm just sitting here at the door of the man cave watching the moving lawnmowers and seeing which one's going to be the second one to move out of the herd.
The living lawnmowers?
Yeah. And listening to the tree sing to me, the big oak tree out back here.
Is it full of cicadas?
No. It's just the wind.
It's just sighing.
Moving. Yeah. Through the tree, just the sound.
Is it Whispering Mary by chance, Sparky?
You mean Mariah?
No, the wind whispers Mary, you know, the Jimi Hendrix song.
The wind cries. Oh, the wind cries Mary.
Oh, cries Mary, okay, sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, I asked if it was cicadas, because you can't walk outside here where I am right now without it. It sounds like there's some machine in the distance. The cicadas are back this year. And they are singing for all they're worth.
Yeah, we don't get cicadas out here. I got to experience them when I went to the Air Force Museum in 2006. Right outside Air Force Museum, they have this wooded area with all these memorials to all the bomb groups who over the world. And his trees were just full of them. I said, "What the hell is that noise?" And the guys turned around and said, "You never heard of cicadas?" And I said, "Nope."
Well, there's the source of our echo.
Do cicadas do like crickets do? They rub their hind legs together?
I'm not exactly sure how they do it, but they're a hell of a lot louder than any cricket.
Oh, I know.
Don't they come out like...
Yeah, like every 17 years.
I think it's their wings vibrate against each other, Scotty.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we used to get them in the Midwest when I lived in Iowa, like every, the seven-year locust, whatever it was, you know?
Yeah, there's different varieties. There's 7, 17...
Mm-hmm. I like the ones that land on the bark of a tree and shed their skin, and then you see like a shell of a cicada.
This is them.
I think they all do that, Scotty.
Yeah, is them. Yeah.
Yeah, the ones I had, well, I didn't have them, but the ones I saw did that, yeah.
They emerge from the earth and go up the tree in their larval form and shed that exoskeleton, and I don't even think they eat, because people mistake them for locusts. They aren't.
Oh, well, I was with you on that first part.
Underway.
They come out of the earth, they crawl up the tree, but they don't eat, so they're not Trump supporters.
Well, I thought they were maggots for sure there, Scotty.
Actually,
that's more like a locust, because they devour everything in sight. That'd be a maggot, actually, devouring everything in sight.
Sometimes it gets so thick, your windshield wipers can't even keep up with them.
Yeah.
This is Gary.
And they,
Gary from Illinois.
Yeah, and Gary, they look ferocious. I mean, they look like something out of a science fiction movie.
Oh, yeah, they're ugly-looking things.
Well, now that you mentioned, that's really all that's missing. We've had the COVID-19. We've had madness in the streets. Why not a plague of frogs raining down?
Well,
there's
a plague of locusts moving into India from, I think, China.
China.
What else?
They're shaped like knockoff Nike sneakers, too. That's what's scary.
Oh.
Zillions of sneakers flying in your general direction.
Oh, go to blazes, Scott. That was good.
Holy fuck.
That was so quick, I didn't even catch that.
So did Trump really own the Bible backwards, or is that people just joking around or upside down? Are people joking, or is that, did that really happen?
Upside down.
Really? Oh, jeez. Embarrassing.
Which reminds me, there was a I watched Major League One yesterday, and there was Major League Two, the second movie, and Charlie Sheen was like trying to do this advertisement for this one company, and he was like holding the product upside down. So it was like he was on like take 37 or 57 or whatever it was. It was pretty funny, pretty good movie.
Man, it's been years since I watched it.
From 1994 was when it came out. Yeah,
but I
actually think it was. I think the Indians and Cubs played in that World Series in that movie, if I'm not mistaken, and that actually happened another 20 years later, roughly. You know, yeah, 22 years later.
Yeah.
I'll just say
Major League Baseball will be coming back.
Doesn't look like there's going to be a season. The Major League ball players are refusing to take a pay cut due to the reduced number of games, and so the players' union's not going to like budge. We're not going to see baseball.
So they voted.
I don't know if they've even gotten to the point of voting. I don't know if it's even moved beyond a proposal stage. At least the NBA looks like they're going to be coming back by late July.
Players, I know the NBA one. They were players are supposedly voting on it today, I think.
Yeah, that looks like it's going to go through because the big marquee players are in favor of the plan to play in Orlando. 22 teams will be still in. They're going to kick out the remaining. That's Sparky.
The Disneyland bubble playoffs.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how. I don't know if they're going to play all the remaining games or just some of them or how they're going to do it. But if you're within six games, six games of the last playoff spot when the season was suspended, those teams get to play. The teams that were further back are out. So I guess there's only eight of 30 are out of the playoffs, which isn't really that bad. I guess you do what you have to do, and there'll be no crowds. Yeah,
that really tells you what the difference is between the regular season and the playoffs, doesn't it? It's kind of like the NHL.
Yeah,
it certainly does. Yeah. I think there was going to be 8 regular season games before the playoffs. I think so.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah,
just 8.
Okay. Yeah, and the 9 has to play the 8, and then they go
with
the regular playoffs.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping that the Lakers can win one. We'll see.
It's not really something I'm yearning to see.
Sports news from the Pat McAfee show in the morning.
Yeah.
He said some.
Wait a minute. Lakers? Aren't the Lakers basketball?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, Scott.
I thought we were talking about baseball.
No.
We swear.
We said NBA. That's code word for basketball.
All right, I'm sorry. You guys are too cool.
NFL's for football. MLB is for baseball. NHL is for hockey. Okay, you got it now?
Thank you. Sporky. I think I got it now. When are we going to see the rabbits, George?
That's a cowbell for sure.
Tell me about the rabbits, George.
Tell me about the rabbits, Mike. Tell me about the rabbits.
I thought with baseball,
hey, Scott, it sounds
the higher paid employees, the higher paid payers didn't want to take a disproportionately higher cut in pay. That was the big issue. So that lower paid people wouldn't get such a big pay cut, but the big guys would. And that was the sticking issue.
Well, I guess that's the way it always is. Money always rules, it seems like, right? So F them. If they're going to bring the whole season down, let them get a big fat zero for their
pay. I mean, I'm
I'm just asking this question because I think I'm non-representative here. I don't fucking care.
I mean, some people like baseball.
Yeah, I know, okay. I know, but
some people like something else to talk about, Bob.
Well, yeah, sure, I get that, but the thing is, there is still a pandemic going on. True. People are still dying, and the fact that we're apparently prioritizing professional sports and half flat, semi warm, $12 bottles of beer and bad hot dogs over our ability to keep people alive. I mean, it's crazy making to me.
Hey, no, Bob.
Nobody loves college football more than me, but I frankly could not give a fuck.
Hey, Bob.
If we have a college football season.
Speaking of college football, there were apparently a few Bama players that just tested positive for the Rona. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Steve, you were going to say something?
Yeah. First of all, the only sport that actually matters is they're going to have 2014 playoff, and it's going to be in two different regions, and they're taking, I think, the top eight teams in each conference, and they're going to make it into the first. They're going to get byes, essentially, and then there's a round robin for the other ones. That's the NHL, of course. But, Bob, I get you. But you know what? People need something else to talk about. You know, you have your food porn, man, and I some people need their own.
I'll give you
an example. I had an English teacher in high school. She had a master's degree in English, and she told me every time she used to go to or had a final or something like that, where she had to read all these highfalutin books, she used to go buy a Debbie Does Dallas novel to give her some trash to read something totally mindless. And I think that's what it comes down to.
Well, yeah, and along those lines, Steve, you know, just I'll remind people that the origins of the NFL with teams like the Decatur Staleys that went on to become the Chicago Bears were created, as was professional baseball, to give the working class something to focus their energies and attentions on other than the shitty conditions in which they lived and worked. And anybody who tunes into sports radio today knows that not much has changed. People will call into sports talk radio and offer up opinions with all the force and furor and conviction of the true believer, and they absorb the statistics, and they bask in the glow when their team wins, and they're crushed in depression when they lose.
No, and I agree with you.
And it matters not a bit.
There's where you and I completely agree, particularly when I hear people talk about, you know, any kind of team that I heard a New York person one time had a Giants, Giants jersey, New York Giants jersey on, say, I hate the Eagles. And I thought to myself, how do you hate a group of people you've never met and never will? I mean, when I used to watch Ohio State games at my local bar, there was a guy there who was one of the waiters who I think played for USC or something like that, and he went crazy over it. And I went crazy when the game's on too. You probably do the same thing. But if Ohio State loses, 10 minutes afterwards, I'm like, life goes on. And he would say, oh, you really get into it. Doesn't it really bug you? And I said, no, it's a fucking game. Doesn't mean I don't, but I understand where you're coming from is all I'm saying.
I guess another way of putting it is you could say that, like religion, sports is also an opiate of the masses.
Right.
Precisely.
To distract you from your everyday problems.
Point.
Bread and circus.
Well, same thing with entertainment, movies. You could say that about a lot of things.
Just,
you could say that about food.
What about the Drew Brees kerfuffle?
Well, I mean, I dealt with that a couple of days ago. I mean, I figured. Yeah. You know,
well, on the sports radio,
white privilege. What do you expect from the guy? You know.
Yeah.
on the sports radio call-in shows, and I very rarely will let the dial go anywhere near a sports talk station, but they'll get on there and you'll hear these people, and you kind of picture them in your mind's eye. You know, they're just not. They're not the upper echelon of society in my book, but they will rehash a pivotal play from 10 seasons ago that made the difference between win or lose.
Oh, no, there's a lovely beauty to, I mean, what, 1986, 1987, Jack Nicklaus's huge, huge Masters win at an advanced age for a pro golfer. And that scene of him sinking the putt and the putter in the air, and he's wearing the yellow polo shirt. They're wonderful moments. Willie Mays just fucking cold tracking that ball that was on its way out of the park and just, you know, kind of sensing where it was and catching it over his shoulder. Or any number of moments. Don Larson's perfect game.
But no, I don't mean about the win so much, about the agony of defeat. And they'll rehash that shit years later, decades later.
You're not talking about Bill Buckner letting the grounder go between his legs,
well,
are you?
My mind was in that general ballpark.
Yeah,
86,
see, I was
86 World Series.
Yeah,
Red
but I prefer the glory moments like Bill Mazeroski with the Bucks, and it has the power to be transformative. By the way, Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx says, that's why I call WFAN whining fans and nitwits.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. Mike Francesa. See if he knows.
Isn't
that a cowbell for whining fans and nitwits?
Yes,
Bob?
Yes, absolutely. That might be that might be Angelo's first cowbell.
But Mike Francesa, I don't know if the guy would, it goes on for 5 hours. And I'm like, what? And I have to tell you something, Bob. You'll appreciate this. Nobody else might. Just indulge me for a second. It's 1980, Bob. Back when the baseball was the National League West and the East, and the Reds were in the same division as the Dodgers. And you know that was a big rivalry for a number of years. It was always the Reds Dodgers. So it's 1980. Yeah. It's August 8th. They go back and forth each night. I mean, each inning. Dodgers finally take the lead 5-4 in the top of the eighth. And the bases get loaded. And who comes to the bat with two outs? Works the count of it. I think it was a ball and two strikes or 0-2. And who but Johnny Lee Bench hits a grand slam in the bottom of the eighth inning.
I remember that. Johnny Bench.
I was there, and it was like
Monday.
I don't remember many games. Certain World Series, but that game to me.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's those iconic major wows.
Yeah, that was a hell of a game, Steve. I remember that.
It's going to get hotter again after
also
that.
The time that Reggie Jackson hit three home runs for the Yankees in the World Series. That was, I guess, Dodgers, I think. That was a classic game.
That was 76.
The Giants won the pennant. The Giants won the pennant.
Jesus, come on. Hey, who keeps making all the creaky noises?
I don't think that's me.
No, I don't know.
It's every single time. It's somebody. It's like they have their headphones that they're constantly farting around with.
Sparky's on the phone. Scott's not clacking tonight.
It's me.
You can't beat that polygrip.
My billable typewriter isn't self-writing.
Are you dragging dragging your microphone around?
No.
Stop dragging mic around. No, sorry.
No,
us what to do.
I'm in the recliner. I'm leaned way back. My feet are up. The fan's blowing on me. And I'm just happier than a clam.
Hey, Bob, one thing I wanted to say about the NBA starting back up again, and I totally get it. In the grand scheme of things, it means absolutely nothing. But if you look at it this way, it's one thing that's going to keep maybe some folks at home instead of frolicking outdoors and at the water park and the churches and the whatever.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's arguably true. Angelo apparently doesn't care much for sports talk radio in the greater New York market. WEPN, ESPN Radio, wingnuts expressing prattling nonsense.
Oh, it's fucking awful. It's fucking awful. And you get these people calling in with these really bad Long Island and Brooklyn accents. And like you said, Bob, they sit there and they talk in detail about, and Scott said this, about shit that doesn't matter. And I actually heard a commentator one time make the remark that Americans aren't dumb and don't have a slow attention span. They just spend it on the wrong – they just expend those things on the wrong stuff. I mean, if we spend as much time knowing and learning about, you know, Social Security or our government than people did on – some sport, we'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, well, we also come off as intolerable snobs when we say things like that. And here, by way of getting us away from sports talk radio, I just got a heads up. Well, save it for another day. I just got a heads all up right. from Jeremy in Vermont. Happening at this moment, in Los Angeles. The person posting this says your Amazon order is probably toast because there is an Amazon warehouse hugely, let's see, what's the word the firefighters use? Fully involved.
Oh, Jesus.
On fire in L.A.
Do you know where in L.A.?
It just says live in Amazon distribution.
Just look for the smoke. You'll find it.
That would be a 3-alarm fire or something like that.
An Amazon distribution center in the Los Angeles area is on fire, 6520.
Because there's one near me. I'm currently in L.A. You know, I'll change it. I will look it up.
Good. I mean, I'm looking at my stuff.
11 still coming.
Redlands.
I'll have a post here in a second.
All right, let's get out of here too.
Yeah, I'm looking at helicopter footage.
Right. Arrived today.
I'm looking at helicopter footage.
It's in
right
Redlands
now from CBS affiliate.
Redlands, California.
We got one more hit.
That's about 65-70 miles east of LA, maybe even 80. It's in the desert, sort of desert. Near, I think it's in San Bernardino County or whatever.
Bernardino.
What? Where are you getting the video, Bob?
San Bernardino County.
No, I know.
600,000 square foot warehouse.
But yeah. I think that's the largest county in the country. I mean, I'm at one end of it. I happen to live in that county,
but big. Yeah.
That link I posted has helicopter shots.
Oh, okay.
Did you guys hear that Elon Musk called for Amazon to be broken up?
Yeah. He doesn't like Bezos. At all.
So I wonder if it's the Muskies that are behind the fire then, huh?
Ooh, there you go. Elon's not doing much these days, I guess.
I think Amazon used to republish his book. I'm not sure, but I think it was because he thought COVID-19 was a scam. I think that's the trail of the story, but I know they refused to publish his book or they're giving him a hard time, and he came out with that message. That Amazon should be broken up. Mm-hmm. One point I want to mention. I sent Bob an email today with the New York Times update about the COVID is expanding. But didn't you guys kind of have a intuitively think it would be growing faster than it currently is, given all the?
Yeah, well, Lou, I think there's a wrinkle there, and that is what we already know to be going on. That especially in the MAGA Confederate states, they're fudging the numbers.
Okay.
Because
I was thinking the sunshine in the summer. Not that I want to downplay it, but like I said, I just thought, as you say, Bob, they could be really, and they are. I've heard stories about they don't count. They're calling it pneumonia.
Yes,
I think you read the story.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's verified. pneumonia deaths are spiking all over Florida, Texas, and Georgia. You know, 3 and 4 times the ordinary number that they would expect at the same time in any other of the past 5 or 6 years. So they're desperate to say that these aren't COVID deaths and palming it off on, well, you know, old people just get pneumonia.
Yeah, like four times as much. Four times as usual, as I recollect.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope it doesn't expand.
It's the anti-science mindset of these fuckers. But once upon a time, the local medical authorities would coordinate and compare notes with the CDC and other organizations and keep track when there was a public crisis at hand, a medical crisis. But these people they have no interest in service, even the most basic of services. You couldn't pay them to give a fuck.
Well, the idea that murderous jackass in the White House actually pissed and moaned to people in Maine about why they haven't, why more of them aren't out there reopening the state and getting the Rona and dying for him.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he actually, you said this today. I didn't check his tweets at all, but you said he actually said George Floyd would be happy about increased number of, at least some jobs went up, although overall they went down. I think down by 8, up by 2, and so a net loss of 6. But he's bragging about that. But
are you talking about the unemployment numbers?
Yes, sir, yeah.
Yeah, those numbers are all scattershot.
They're still higher than the worst of the Depression in the 1930s, so it's really nothing to brag about.
Trump, he's going to brag about it. It's all about him. Everything's all about him, just like that damn photo op in front of the St. John's Church, you know?
I had the impression, oh my God, I had the impression they went down by 8 and they were up by 2, so a net loss of 6.
Well, I actually heard that the rate went down from 15% to 13.3%. That's all I heard.
Yeah. Overall, the rate went.
But that 13% is still higher than unemployment in the 30s.
I don't think so. I think it hit 25% in the Great Depression, Scotty.
I'm only going by the graphic I saw on TV earlier today on MSNBC.
Oh, wow.
Worse than the 2008 Depression. That's clear.
But here's the deal. Here's the deal. They're not counted the same. I know what Scott's talking
about. You're right. You're right.
If you count people who stopped looking,
yes,
it's actually, I think Scott's probably, this is what he's thinking of, it's around 20, 22, 23%.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve, there was a big jump in the participation rate or non-participation rate,
correct,
I should say.
But, you know, there was also $2 trillion of stimulus that gave a little bump, too.
Yeah.
You know, those dollars aren't going to be coming every month.
Look,
hold on. Let's go back. I've got it. Y'all should be able to hear it. I have Trump here from today, and if you hear this, and you can feel anything but utter contempt for this disgusting thing. Well, you're a better person than I am. Yeah, wait. Really? Well, God damn it.
I still feel contempt for him, Bob.
I'm damn glad I am. I'm just trying to figure out why this isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Donald, come in, Donald.
Working.
Nah, it's rolling. I just I know what it is. Faulty nut behind the keyboard.
Where the hell is your producer, Bob, for the show?
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to have one of those.
Equal justice under the law must mean that every American receives equal treatment in every encounter with law enforcement, regardless of race, color, gender, or creed. They have to receive fair treatment. Law enforcement, they have to receive it. We all saw what happened last week. We can't let that happen. Hopefully George is looking down right now and saying this is a great thing that's happening for our country. This is a great day for him. It's a great day for everybody.
Great day for him? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Sick.
Oh, and one other thing. I had a note a few minutes ago. There's another thing out there trending on the Twitters, and it might be good for a giggle. It looks like the dime is about to drop on a certain member of the United States Senate. Ellen just sent along a note saying, "Don't know if you'll get this during the program, but the hashtag Lady G is now trending on Twitter in reference to all the male escorts who are coming forward about Lindsey Graham."
What? Oh,
that's great.
You're kidding.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I can't help but cackle.
Was that your cackle?
Yeah, it was.
I have never in all the times you've been on this program, and as long as we've been friends, I have never heard you cackle like that.
That is definitely cowbell worthy.
No. I don't want to waste a cowbell on that.
Somebody get the fainting couch ready and a mint julep.
I hope Smoldery Joe isn't well repaired.
that would be the second good news of the week.
I'm looking up the Twitter thread. A person on Twitter named Tom Dangora, who is an NYC producer, director, musical, Naked Boys singing, a musical about Star Wars, Addie and Uno, Wonderettes, blue checkmark guy. "The gay internet is exploding over hashtag Lindsey Graham today. An army of gay escorts are claiming Lindsey has used their services for years and are trying to figure out how to get around the NDA has them all sign. It's rumored that DC male escorts now refer to Senator Graham as Lady G."
So much for Lady Gaga.
Well, I wondered why
Are you saying that Lindsey Graham is gay? Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. That's not a wasted cowbell.
No. Plus,
that
plus
cackle is positively maniac.
I'm sorry. You made my weekend. That made my weekend.
Hey, guys, let me ask you a question. Is Barry Manilow gay?
Gee, I don't know.
No, he is.
He's Liberace.
It causes me to wonder, and this is my demented side coming out, what is Lindsey's proclivity? Because you know that these organizations each have a checklist.
By proclivity, do you mean kink?
Yeah, what does the client
do? No. I'll tell you how to say it, Scott. Here's how you say it. What's he into? That's how you say it.
Well, okay, what's he into?
Likes to rack balls.
I mean, I can just imagine. Did everyone see his new haircut? He had a new Trumpian haircut.
He's got a new Trumpian haircut, and he's using the same color.
Yeah, he had a beautiful little coif there.
My stars.
He's trying to emulate
Senator can't have an interesting hairdo, I just don't know what this world's coming to. Bobby pins, please. Oh, that's never going to hold. You're going to need a permanent amendment. Bugs Bunny. There's a Bugs Bunny line for everything.
It's not that he's gay. It's the hypocrisy.
Daffy Duck, too.
I mean, the idea, I'm sure that'll really hurt his election chances.
No, it won't, because the assholes that support him are going to believe it's all fake news.
Great. Let him believe it.
You got to remember, years ago, there were legions of blue-haired ladies all over America who didn't see a thing wrong with Liberace. Just saying, you know?
Yeah, but it's the hypocrisy at any rate.
I know.
I mean, I despise what he's become, but I don't have much money, but I contributed to his opponent in South Carolina.
Jamie Harrison?
Yeah, just, you know, fingers crossed. I want to say I did something in this world. But
hey, Bob?
Yeah?
You know, I'm just thinking. He had them sign these NDAs. If, and this is gonna, and this is a uniquely lawyer question, Rick will answer this. If he didn't pay him any cash, the only quote-unquote consideration is sex, and that's not valid consideration. So they're not enforceable.
Oh, but they're being referred to as sex workers. So there, you know, there was money on the nightstand.
Oh, but was that in exchange for the NDA or for the exchange of services?
God,
I say we start a GoFundMe.
Lawyers are why we can't have nice things. You know that?
I know.
But it could
I
be
know.
Both.
Oh, come on.
Both.
That's not true.
I hope they got hazard pay, these young men. I mean, I don't know how much money it would take for me to go to bed with Lindsey Graham. It'd be an awfully big pile of money.
Oh, come on, so Scott. We don't need that image, please.
Hey, you know. He's a little tiny feller, in case you don't know. I mean, he's practically a fucking hobbit. I mean, I've stood next to him in the basement of the Russell Senate office building, and you know, he comes top of his head comes up about nipple high on me.
You know what I wish you would have said to him, Bob? You wish you would have said to him, "Well, you look like Lindsey Graham's boy. Is that who you are?"
If he sued on the NDA, then that acknowledges that there was an NDA, and then you'd have to ask, why did he give an NDA or insist on an NDA from a male prostitute? And that just sinks his boat.
So is there still a question on the table?
My
you guys
question
don't
here,
our opinions.
I've got a serious question here. If you pay for sex, either male or female, I don't care what the sex is, that paying for the sex, to the best of my knowledge, is illegal everywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, except Nevada, you know, some other stuff.
Okay.
That's not what you're paying for.
But my point
is. That's not what you're paying for.
Companionship?
No, that's what he is paying for.
They're escorts.
My point here,
that's how they get around it. I get you, Roger, I get what you're saying. That's how they get around it. You're not paying for sex. You're paying for
companionship.
If it happens to get to sex, why, all the better.
I assume Lindsey Graham
is
married.
Is there the possibility that the NDA is not enforceable?
Oh, good point.
It covers an
illegal
act.
Yes.
Excellent
point.
If it's solely for what's considered meretricious services, the contract is not valid. That was the whole issue in Marvin versus Marvin with regard to palimony when I think Michelle Marvin was trying to get...
Hey, billable, okay, let's run off into the weeds. Yeah. Is it void or voidable?
Void or voidable? I would say it's probably voidable. I don't know if it's void.
I would say it's void.
Void ab initio because it is for an illegal act.
Well, I guess
that's like saying...
If I understand correctly...
That's like saying if you have a contract on a hit,
it's not enforceable. Murder
for
hire.
Because it's void. It's void. Yeah. It's not like the person sent. You know, you can't ask for. You can't say, "Well, I want to void
that's
the
true.
Contract
it,
for a
it
hit."
Is,
yeah, you can't. You can't. You can't sue in court to enforce a contract to bring 52 tons of bathtub fentanyl into the United States.
Bob. Oh, damn it, Bob! You've ruined my business plan.
Bob,
thanks,
could
buddy.
Could I bring some inside information to the conversation?
Well, you can as quick as I tell you that I think Darlene's worried about you. She wrote a little bit ago and said, "Has Scotty not had his coffee with creamer yet, or has he not had enough martinis?"
Oh, I'm on to my. I'm just finishing up the last cup of my second pot of coffee. But here's the deal: in the '70s, I met a guy who asked me if I wanted a job, and at the time, I needed a job. So he took me to the place. It was up on Connecticut Avenue in D.C. And what it was they would run ads for lonely men to have someone come and visit them. And basically, I would take the call and then send the person out to the client's house. The way those things are typically set up is that the customer is paying only – for the person to go from the dispatch center to their residence. Anything that's transacted after that is strictly between the customer and the person who showed up.
Yeah, that's the fig leaf. It's kind of like buying legal weed in Washington, D.C. You know, weed's legal in D.C., but there aren't any pot shops. So what you do is you
along those lines.
You pull up on it. You pull up and park along a street, and you contact them, you know, on the internet, and you buy a T-shirt from them for $75. And with your T-shirt, you get a complimentary half ounce of bubblegum Kush.
We don't have the T-shirts out here. Out here, you just walk into the place, put down your money,
right? But
show
it's,
your
but
ID.
It, but it's D.C., so it has to. There have to be flaming barbed wire bureaucratic hoops to leap through. Yeah, I'd like a half an ounce of Fuck Trump T-shirt on our way. You know.
We have like delivery services out here because of coronavirus.
Oh, and Darlene pointing out maybe that's what Trump and or the Russians have on Lindsay, and maybe he can relate to Trump's many NDAs.
Apparently, the man's not married, which I didn't know.
No, he's not. He is what we refer to in the South as a confirmed bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
He's a confirmed
in a hoop
bachelor.
Shirt.
Now quit that. Now and we've already we've hey look, Matt, who is my personal advisor on all things on all things gay, because you know I do things like saying Rudy Giuliani appeared in drag, and then I get my second warning from Matt saying we've been over this, Bob. That's not drag. He's a guy in a dress. So. I just got a note from Matt. Poor Lindsay. Now. Let poor Lindsay. Wait a minute. I'm going to get through this. Now. Let poor Lindsay dwell in his dungeon in his leather chaps, ball gag, and blackjack boots. I'm sure it's difficult for those escorts to balance a pitcher of mint juleps while donning a John McCain mask while simultaneously hollering, "Bad boy, Lindsay, you've been a very bad boy."
Assless chaps, is that what he said?
I mean no insult by this. I mean great respect by this. I think Matt just got elevated to horn house mother.
Oh mercy.
tell me if that's a bad thing for me to say, Matt, but I mean that with great honor. Balancing a pitcher of mint juleps while donning a John McCain mask, simultaneously hollering, "Bad boy, Lindsay, you've been a very bad boy." Jesus Christ, Lindsey Graham in a gimp suit is enough.
A gimp suit. Oh, God.
Do they allow that on the Senate floor?
No, but what happens in Mitch McConnell's office stays in Mitch McConnell's office. Oh,
hey Bob!
With Elaine Chao, in the role of Revenge of the Spider Woman.
Oh my God! I have an observation. Well,
we've come a long way since those innocent days when all you need do is put a foot up against the adjoining bathroom stall and get busted.
Well. And by the way, the practical part of this, as David in South Carolina, Stan, lets us know, Jamie Harrison's doing very well with GOP voters in South Carolina. He will win with 20% of the white vote.
Is that right? That's good.
And then Lindsay can finally come out and march in his first ever Pride Parade. Because that's the thing. Let's be clear about it. The reason people are moving these, because I read up on this earlier today. It's not that they're just nobody's trying to blackmail him or extort him or anything. They're just sick and tired of him taking votes that are actively harmful to the LGBTQIA community.
That's interesting. Yeah,
because you know when he opposes. People having access to health care, that includes the community. When he opposes people needing financial relief during a goddamn pandemic, that includes the community. And that's what's
hey,
making
Bob, what about all the judges he's voted for too?
What right.
To confirm.
How many goddamn homophobes has he voted to put on the bench? And I don't know if you saw it, but a couple of days ago, he got shut down by members of his own party trying to launch subpoenas on Obamagate. And jeez. That new and flush from his 80-point margin of victory in the Republican primary, that new and different kind of Republican, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, it called him out and used the word bullshit in a Senate hearing and directed it at Lindsey.
By the way, in terms of the GOP hypocrisy, where they say they behave one way, but they vote another way, the 2009 documentary Outrage details all of that, chapter and verse. The gay politicians who are closeted or secretive, who are just ranting and raving red, white, and blue on the House or Senate floor, but in private, they conduct their affairs differently.
Hey, Scott?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you a story. Did you see that movie?
Outrage, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you remember the opening scene where it had the guy, his name was David, and he had like a really long beard, looked very butchish and all that. His name was David. I don't remember his name, but I'm sitting there watching it. I saw the movie and I look up on the screen and I'm like, oh shit, that's my landlord.
Oh, wow.
He was the one who said he voted with Larry Craig.
Wow.
He also had a big thing in Virginia where he had a license plate that said Poofter.
Well, I want to be clear here. Nobody is critiquing Lindsey Graham's sexuality.
No, it's hypocrisy.
It's hypocrisy.
It's been an open secret in South Carolina for years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm so out of touch, I guess.
David in South Carolina says, South Carolina GOP Republicans are turning on Lindsey because of his flip-flopping bizarre behavior. He's just not reliable. He's lost their trust. And Jesus, you know, when you lose Republicans in South Carolina, fuck, you've lost. But couldn't
that be a smokescreen where they knew maybe this was coming out or figured it might, or if it ever could, they'd want to have a reason to justify their turning on him?
No, I think this is legit. There are some Never Trump Republicans in even South Carolina. As wild as that may be to believe, but I'm absolutely determined that we make it abundantly clear. You know, I've heard so many people say that the closet is the worst place in the world, and if that's the case, then Lindsey has probably, and if he's gay, he has probably spent, however old he is, every day of his life in some degree of misery. But
who forged the chains that he was wearing?
Wait. And to that end, I hope it would. He can go on and be conservative, and he can be a Republican. Hell, it would probably be more earth-shattering to have an out Republican senator than it would be to have an out active NFL player. Okay? Because everybody in sports has, well, largely, you know, football, basketball, whatever, they generally have to come out after they retire. So it would be a big deal. It is a nightmare that the Republican Party cannot countenance. But I want to make sure that, you know, we're not Lindsey bashing for who he loves or how he loves.
I get your point.
But for the horrible, horrible, horrible person he has been relative to his own community. And you know, who forged his chains in life? He was just a little boy when Stonewall happened. And the distance from Stonewall to now is a long, brutal, painful, agonizing march that for many continues to be brutal and agonizing.
But get my point, Bob. If he was gay and has known it for any number of years, and these things don't just spring up, okay? If you even as a child, and you tend that way, it's in your bones, it's who you are. On some level, you know it. You may not have language to describe it, but you know it. So he's gone through childhood, through his adolescence, into young adulthood, up until whatever age he is now. At any point, he could have been true to himself and said, damn it, politics be damned, I am who I am.
Hey, who's doing that? That was terrible. But it's not as easy as all that, I don't think.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with Scott.
Well, wait a minute.
I didn't come out until after college. And to a large extent, it just never even occurred to me. I never knew anything. I just thought that it just never occurred to me. Into my early 20s.
It's been some about a year since I've last watched that movie, Outrage. But it seems to me that one of the messages in the movie is the liberating force at play when you are true to yourself as a human being, no matter what your sexuality, that you come clean not only with yourself and celebrate who you are and how you are, but open up that door for other people by being authentic.
But you know what, Scott? Here's the deal. You know,
he, among other things, he would have flushed his Air Force career down the toilet. Even though he told lies about his service, he would have flushed his Air Force career down the toilet.
And who knows about his family? I mean, look, listen, in a lot of places, I'll step back. I was very lucky. But I know people who got kicked out of homes, who had their family completely disown them. And it always, and for a lot of people, it's a balancing act. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm true to myself, great, but I have no family, I have no community.
Yeah, that's the whole reason for the creation of the It Gets Better campaign.
I've had high school friends that didn't come out till their parents died.
Let me revise my statement. I will grant you all of what you just said. I will concede to your point. But at the very least he could have done was not to be a stumbling, if he's a Christian, which I'm sure he claims he is to not to be a stumbling block for others, whether it's legislatively or if it's in your day-to-day living. If you didn't want to come out, don't come out. But God damn it, don't throw logs and rail ties and shit in the pathway of other people, making their lives more difficult and treacherous.
And here's the other thing. When you're let's just assume he is, big assumption. And if you're that scared, the way you reinforce the fact that you're not is to be the absolute opposite of what you are. Now,
yeah, I know.
Weird thing is that when you are, you know, it's the whole methinks you doth protest too much type of thing, where there's a lot of people that would say, wait a minute, this guy's way too hung up on this. And the irony is that actually makes a lot of people look at him and go, guy must be gay. I mean, what does he have to prove here? But I hear what you're saying. But all I can say is this. It's not, you know, come out as anything unpopulous. You know, I've heard people who came, quote unquote, came out as atheists, and their family abandoned them. And sometimes it's easier to just, you know, if you find out you're an atheist, for instance, you keep going to church, you keep going through the motions, and, you know, it's enough. It's enough to say, okay, I don't have to tell anybody. I'll just keep it to myself. But I still have family. I still have community. I still have friends. I'm still welcome at places. So I hear you. And it's consistent with your idealism, which is admirable. But...
Well, no, it's not a matter necessarily of idealism or mindset. In my younger years, in my adolescence, this is something that I was going up against coming up in my adolescence. And one day in the late 60s, I got on the bus and went over to D.C. because I'd heard about this group in this organization in D.C. called the Mattachine Society, which was headed up by a gentleman, God rest him, by the name of Frank Kameny, who was a government astronomer and lost a very prestigious job. He was a doctor. He's a PhD in astronomy and was working for the government as a civilian, as an astronomer, and was outed and lost his job and fought it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And he died about 8 or 10 years ago. And I will always admire him because they took that from him. But what they didn't take from him was his identity and his pride within himself as a gay American. He was the guy who coined the term gay is good back in the late 60s. And Frank Kameny was and remains one of my own personal heroes. And I went over and spent the day with him. And he talked to me and was very supportive and kind toward me. Didn't make a move on me or anything like that, contrary to what some people will tell you about lecherous old gay men. Okay? But he was true to himself. And it turns out that losing his job was the best thing in a way that ever happened to him, because it freed him up to be an activist. And he was an activist par excellence. Some people in the gay community didn't like Frank Kameny because they thought he was out of step or too outrageous or whatever. But he was true to the cause until the day he died. And America and the world is better for him having lived the life that he lived. And I get family and I get acceptance and I get fear, okay? But I also get that a lot of fear can be self-inflicted. You getting back to the chains on your wrists and ankles. Sometimes we forge these chains or help others to put them upon us. And if you're not hiding anymore, you've no longer got that thing to be afraid of. And if people can't accept someone for who and what they are and how they are, as hard as it may be, sometimes you just have to let them go their way until they get their act together.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No. Don't. No apology necessary. I just looked up Frank Kameny. He was born in New York and died in Washington.
Yeah.
What I bring those up because it was a hell of a lot easier being gay in New York and Washington than it was down at the ancestral home of Smoldering Chode.
That's the absolute truth. I mean, I was about to say, Scott, I honor your optimism and the decency of your spirit. But you were raised in the South to the extent that, just across the Potomac from D.C. is the South. There's a big difference between that basic metropolitan area and the backwoods of South Carolina, Stan. My dear friend, the departed brilliant Peter Godbold, who grew up in the wilds of the county out in the country outside Tallahassee. You know, he said He said there were people in my community who knew there were people in his community that knew he was gay before he knew he was gay, and that Southern America has a code, a language, to talk about boys like that, and you know the more genteel of them, women who were his teachers, for instance, in school would say, you know, he's a very sensitive boy. And that was, you know, and that was code for this kid's gay. And Peter talked about, you know, growing up in that environment, and so that's and so when he was in engaging in his misspent youth, he went as far away as he could from Florida as he could get, and wound up as a club DJ out in Portland, and let his and came out and just lived his life.
Well, another son of Florida.
But he talked about that reality, in great detail. You know, he used to say, he'd say, Bob, I'm so gay that the exhaust coming out of my automobile is pink. and I miss him so much. And what a hero he was. You know, he refused to die of HIV. Instead, he lived with it and wound up dying from a combination of HIV and smoking and heart attacks that were brought on by the cocktail of drugs that he took to keep the HIV at bay. He was a brilliant, brilliant man. Another son
of Florida, who I believe is from Tallahassee, was a guy by the name of Troy Perry, who was a Pentecostal minister and married for a time, and came to terms with his sexuality and who he actually was, and went out to California and started a Christian church whose ministry was to the outcast, particularly the gay and lesbian and
you know, those stories are rarities, because for every one of those, there's probably 10 who don't, like the guy who was a close friend of Jerry Falwell, studied at Jerry Falwell's
feet, yeah,
and became a pastor of a mega Southern Baptist church in Montgomery. His wife goes on vacation. She comes home, and she finds him suffocated to death inside not one but two wetsuits.
I remember that.
Whoever did the suffocating was nowhere to be found. Because A, it was probably a guy, and B, whoever it was didn't want to be implicated in the death of a fairly well-known in the community, good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican. Yeah.
Well, to sum it up, I'm happy for Lindsay that the closet door is being flung open. I don't like outing people, but maybe sometimes it comes to that, and he can step away from his long history of hypocrisy.
Well, others can speak to this far better than I, but I've just followed the story over the years. There's a huge raging debate on outing. And it has to do, Steve, tell me if I'm getting this wrong, it has to do with the right of a person to be whoever the hell they are versus what becomes a moral imperative when them being who they are is doing tremendous harm to the community of who they are. And that is why this story broke the way that it did. Flavio sent me the story from Fitz News. Around the time most South Carolinians were sitting down to their evening meals on Thursday night, a gay porn star by the name of Sean Harding fired off a tweet that set tongues a-wagging across the Palmetto State and in the nation's capital. There is a homophobic Republican senator who is no better than Trump who keeps passing legislation that is damaging to the LGBT and minority communities. Every sex worker I know has been hired by this man, wondering if enough of us spoke out if that could get him out of office. And Fitz News wrote, to be clear, this news outlet does not care about Graham's sexual orientation. In fact, the sooner we can stop contemplating whatever it is that might turn on the 64-year-old Central South Carolina native, the better. Maybe he's gay, maybe he isn't, we wrote recently. We hear the same rumors everybody else does, but it simply isn't something that factors into our assessment of him as an elected official. We are much more concerned with Graham's chameleon-esque inability to settle on a political orientation. An erstwhile never-Trumper, he flip-flopped and began supporting the president in late 2017 when it became clear he was about to lose his U.S. Senate seat in 2020. Were we surprised? No. Everything with this guy is calculation. And that's true, and it raises another issue. It's pretty obvious from the stories that have been bandied about that one of the going concerns inside the Trump maladministration right now is who to make Secretary of Defense after Mike Esper gets run, because he's going to get run because he took a position contrary to the will of the God Emperor earlier this week and then had to be brought in and shown the foot of the cross and then changed his tune. And with that in mind, if the handwriting is on the wall, you know, many take a Lufarson for Lindsey Graham, why not save the humiliation and make him Trump's Secretary of Defense at least as long as Trump remains president? There's always another move on the chessboard. In Washington politics, there's never actually a checkmate. There's lots of check. Very seldom is there checkmate. And David in South Carolina, Stan, said, yep, that's exactly what I hear, and I never read that stuff you just read. It's the bizarre flip-flopping that's driving people crazy. And David would know because he keeps his ear to the ground in terms of South Carolina politics. Let me look at a couple of other things here that have come in along the way. I had a lovely note from Lady B. Subject line: Lady G. Looks like I'm not the only fabulous bitch around here. To quote Zaphod Beeblebrox, if there's anyone more important than me out there, I want them caught and shot immediately. Metaphorically speaking, of course. Steve from New York has a great cackle. Keep up the conversation, guys. It helps. P.S. I think most ladies knew about Liberace. It's funny how women gravitate towards men they know won't hurt them. Just a thought. And you know what? There's never any such thing as just a thought when it comes from the keyboard of Lady B. It's freighted with about 15 tons of fucking truth. And that's one of them.
I love her voice, man. Oh. I love her voice. She's got a sexy voice, man. I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. She has a beautiful voice.
She has a broadcast voice.
Well, she used to be a broadcaster.
Still is.
I'm feeling that she's probably very... Yeah,
still is as far as I'm
cool
concerned.
Lady.
Still is as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, guys, I just caught an update on the biker guy. I saw a tweet that to you the other day, Bob, and I said that I thought he's a cop. I was right, man. He used to be a cop. Of course, that's not a far get, you know.
Really? Has he been ID'd?
He has been identified. They're honing in. They think they got a suspect that they like, and they think they're going to – I think they're getting ready to do it. They're getting ready to arrest him. But
that's
it doesn't
great.
Mean much, man, because this cop – well, he's not in the police force anymore, I guess. But, you know, these juries, they get these people off, man. Like I talk to people – you know, about this police stuff. And some people seem to be somewhat on the side of the cops. You know, they're saying, well, they're scared and stuff like that. I just think bullshit. Bullshit. But anyway, I just want to give you guys an update on that, though. He should be getting arrested soon.
I disagree with you. That guy was not acting as a cop in assaulting that little girl. And I can't imagine that there'd be a whole lot of jury sympathy for a guy like that with his conduct. I mean, he was not acting as a cop. You know, he might have been a former cop, but nobody likes it when a grown-up goes after somebody who's, like, defenseless, you know?
Good point, man. You're the lawyer. I'm not.
Well, no, that's okay. I mean,
no, and among other things, he wouldn't be able to get on the stand with his uniform on. That means everything
right.
in the world. You put that uniform on and put the shield on it, and you sit there and you swear to tell the truth, and the jury just sits there with their mouths hanging open, catching flies and swallowing whole everything that the cop says. Look at Mark Furman.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Right.
Hey guys, can I just have a quick question for Steve or Rick? Legal question. I have a question about Trump and trying to go after the states and send the military out there. Can Commander Sonny Delight really grab the comitatus by the posse?
No, he can't.
All right, you went a long way for that.
Thanks, Bob.
No, he can't force the governors to accept the federal troops. It has to come at their request and with their consent.
But,
yeah?
Here's the deal. What the law is and what he will do are often two different things. So if he were to say, I'm sending such and such to there, mm-hmm. what are they going to do? I mean,
They could meet the troops at the airport with their National Guard deployed, and he could have a face-off between the National Guard and the military. That would be
interesting. That's what I'm saying.
That's probably what happened if he pushed the issue.
But they could federalize
it. I think the guy's too much of a coward.
How does federalizing the National Guard, how does that work? On whose authority?
Presidential authority.
President can.
Could he say that? I'm federalizing the National Guard?
Hold on. Roger.
The president has to request the governor to release the National Guard to the federal government. Because each governor is the commander-in-chief of the National Guard.
Why on earth did George Wallace release the National Guard to John Kennedy?
Yeah.
Are you sure that the National Guard that came into his state was his
John Kennedy federalized the National Guard in Alabama just like he federalized the National Guard in Arkansas.
I would think that you would, if you dig down into the weeds, and I don't know this at all, but I know that when Trump was starting to put National Guard on the California-Mexico border a while back, the National Guard troops that got sent into California were not California National Guard because the governor of California did not release the California National Guard into federal duty.
Well, that may very well be a more recent development in policy and procedure. But Kennedy straight up nationalized the Alabama National Guard, and he did the same for the Arkansas National Guard.
Yeah, I'm not a super expert, but I was in the military and know a little bit. I know enough to know I'm ignorant. But let me shift gears totally here for just a second. Carol Baker posted a co-authored blurb with her newly adopted son on Facebook today. It is long, it is powerful, and if you are friends with Carol Baker, or I think my page is sufficiently public, you could probably find it there. I would like to suggest everybody read it and share it. It has to do a lot with the thoughts of a 13-year-old kid who is seeing the crap that is going on in this country and how this 13-year-old Carol will not allow to go take part in the demonstrations and such because of his underlying medical conditions. But it is 13-year-old's view of the crap that's going on. And I posted it a long time ago in the normal chat room. I didn't post the whole thing because it's way too long to post in the chat room. But I did give her a comment saying, hope to see you on the front porch. She hasn't shown up. But if you can find it, read it. And it's just another example of what a great person she and how well she's taking care of her adopted son. So her great nephew or whatever he is, however it works out. But anyhow, I just want to give a shout out.
He's her son Carol now.
Baker. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Carol Baker, and I want to give a shout out to the article that she co-wrote with her 13-year-old son.
Awesome. Thank you, Roger. Thank you. And as far as the, there's two other things, and we got 30 minutes left in the program, and let me just note that we got $125 to go to finish the week. That's, you know, and it would be great if we could knock that down and have a clean slate come Monday. But there are a couple of stories regarding the National Guard that bear mentioning. Trey in Kentucky, Stan, sent one along. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine says a member of the Ohio National Guard has been removed from the mission in Washington, D.C. after the FBI uncovered information that the guardsman expressed white supremacist ideology on the Internet prior to the assignment. Huh. Why do we have to wait until after? Why do they have to send the white supremacist in before we find out he's a white supremacist? Somebody's dropping the ball there. But the other story that I find even more interesting is that it's in the Constitution. Constitutional scholar Senator Mike Lee of Utah was pissing and moaning about the D.C. government bouncing the Utah National Guard out of their hotels in D.C. and telling them to go the fuck home. Because as opposed to Mike Lee, who is just a fake constitutional scholar, there are real constitutional scholars who suddenly recalled that there's a little... Nobody pays it, you know, when you're in con law or anything, nobody pays attention to the Third Amendment. But the third... Because the Third Amendment just sounds so 18th century. It's all about not having to quarter... not having to quarter troops in one's home. And when you're a student and everything, you study, it's like, well, you know, I mean, that, okay, well, they put that in there because that mattered to them then. Well, howdy-do. Turns out it matters in 2020 as well. Because Mike Lee, and I'm trying to find the... Find his exact language, because he's a goddamned idiot. Just a second.
But isn't this a fact that the hotels are not open to interstate travel because of COVID-19, and the mayor of D.C. has kicked them out because they're not supposed to be in the hotels?
It's not just that. It's that D.C. is in part funding the hotels. Government money is going to prop up the hotels during the pendency of the pandemic. So I'm trying to find it here. God, a lot of stuff on my...
What, the Third Amendment?
No, not the Third Amendment, but what constitutional scholar Mike Lee was saying.
One detail I heard the other day, and maybe you guys all know this, maybe you don't, that when they flashbang people out of Lafayette Square for Trump to have his photo ops, some of the people they pushed out of there were actually clergy sitting on the church porch.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, there. Okay. Constitutional scholar Mike Lee said, "Just heard that Mayor Bowser's kicking the Utah National Guard out of all D.C. hotels tomorrow. More than 1,200 troops from 10 states are being evicted. This is unacceptable." Because, you know, that stupid maggot dickhead doesn't even understand that the Third Amendment gives Muriel Bowser the right to do it. Like I said, she's upped her trolling game immensely. And so they're... They're being bounced, and 10 other states are too. So, you know, they're going to have to be quartered somewhere else.
Trump Hotel. Hey,
I think Muriel Bowser should be the first governor of D.C. once it becomes a state, if we can ever get enough of a majority, Democratic majority in both houses, and a Democratic president.
And then our buddy Dave number 11 of the Fraternity of Dave sent along another tweet. A police officer. Well, let me see if I can just get this audio up. I think this is important. It deserves to be played. Yeah, here we go.
Enforce the citywide curfew shutdown so we can arrest anybody who walks around. I'm going to come talk to you guys and request that you guys secrete people inside the city center so we're in your vehicle somewhere where it's not a violation. I don't think we can, so we don't look like we're playing. If we do it here, that would really.
Well, even okay. That's phony. I mean, Trump using a.
Okay, so I was playing that clip there so that people could actually hear a police officer telling Proud Boys to go and hide inside a building because they were about to tear gas the protesters. And when queried, the officer said that he was warning these fascist bully boys, discreetly because he didn't want protesters to see police play favorites. So instead of gassing them like they gassed everybody else, they let the little fascist brown shirts go free. Fuckwits.
I have an update for anybody who's friends with Bob on Facebook. I just posted a video of Trump at St. John's Church with his trick Bible. The pages are blank. So anybody who wants to check that out may do so, and I hope you enjoy it. It has a satisfying ending.
Hit by the lightning bolt?
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel did that.
Yeah.
And there have been interesting moments, and since we were talking about sex workers earlier, I didn't want to leave the female sex workers out, since most of the conversation centered on
boy toys is the word you're looking for.
Yeah. So y'all won't hear this. God damn it. I got to figure out a way where you can. Hold on. This just sucks.
Play it, Bob. We'll tell you whether we hear it or
no,
not.
No, I know you won't hear it. I know you won't hear it. Because I'm playing it on the same channel you're on. I just have to figure out a... Son of a gun.
Homeless National Guard?
I heard something.
No, that was somebody.
That was squeaky.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the audio.
Bob, I sent you a couple things that talk about the nationalization for Alabama.
Yeah, go ahead while I'm pulling this up. Go ahead and describe that.
Best I can gather is this. That was pursuant to Executive Order 111. And the best I can gather is it's rather specialized that he was blocking the order of a federal court down there. And that was the difference. I will, in fact, just read the language of the order that was cited in what I had seen. And it says, yada, 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 authorize the Secretary of Defense to call into the active military for an indefinite period and until relieved by appropriate orders in order to enforce the laws of the U.S. within that state and the orders of the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Alabama to remove obstructions of justice and to suppress unlawful assemblies, conspiracies, and domestic violence which oppose the laws of the U.S. or impede the course of justice under those laws within the state. And then the statute that says that is Section 252 of Title 10, which says whenever the president considers that unlawful obstructions, combinations, or assemblages or rebellion against the authority of the U.S. make it impracticable to enforce the laws of the U.S. in any state by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings, he may call into federal service such of the militia of any state. So he has to say, you can't, you know, he has to show or say or whatever that they can't enforce the laws there and specify which laws, and it's federal law.
Right.
So I don't think it's...
Yeah, that rings a faint bell now that you've described the circumstances.
And I think that's what gave him the authority to do what he did in Alabama, because the laws weren't being enforced and there was no... and it says, enforce the laws of the U.S. in any state by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings.
Hmm.
So the ordinary course of...
Yeah, it was a court order.
But I'm saying... They would not order, so they wouldn't enforce a court order. So, you know, he was enforcing the laws.
As distinct from putting down a rebellion or something.
Yeah, that's how I read it. It's not as simple as he can just federalize it. There was a reason.
Kennedy's executive order provided the mechanism to have the law enforced regardless of what Wallace chose to do.
Yeah, and the
because
reason
because he was acting on behalf of the federal court.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was no state mechanism to enforce the order.
So the federal court out of the Northern District of Alabama issued an order basically saying, you know, you must
integrate.
You know, integrate, and so that was the hook that got the federal government in there to, you know, basically
allow them to nationalize it.
You know, to allow the federal law to be enforced.
Right.
Essentially.
At this point.
Okay. So I'm sure
the Constitution of Alabama strictly prohibited enforcement of integration laws. Right. Sure.
Yeah, most likely, yeah. Did. So anyway, the whole idea, and thank you for helping fill that space with some valuable information, Steve. I do appreciate it, because it as with so many things, it's fairly Byzantine. But there have been one of the aspects of protest is creativity. Anybody who's ever read Rules for Radicals knows that you use every tool in your toolbox at the same time that you're trying to force. The other side, the recalcitrant side, the government side, to live by the rules that they themselves have established.
That they themselves, yes, yeah. Exactly.
Well, so they themselves what?
Passed.
Yeah, established.
Yeah, so you say, okay, fine, you want us to do it? Well, you gotta follow your own goddamn rules.
So, like I said, we were talking about male sex workers a little bit ago. Well, a female sex worker decided to make her form of protest very understandable to the police and all their gear and whatever, and she did this.
Oh, look, any police officer that quits today. That offer's good till the end of the night. I'll fuck any cop that quits today. Put down your fucking gun. Put down your fucking badge. Be a fucking human being. I've got business cards.
Oh, he made a mistake. I don't know if you heard him, but there's this one little dweeby dude that looks at her and goes, and he's kind of giving her the look, and he goes, oh, I'm married, sorry. That was a mistake. That was a mistake.
You think that
hey Bob,
married people don't see prostitutes? No, married cops don't see prostitutes? Y'all love prostitutes. You love raping them too. How many of y'all have raped a prostitute? How many of y'all have threatened a prostitute with arrest if she doesn't fuck you? No, not you? Not yet? Maybe one day, though, huh? If you quit today, I'll fuck you consensually. And I'm good, too. And I love to hate fuck. I'll hate fuck the shit out of you.
Oh,
and you'll love it.
Controller, I love it.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that brilliant?
That's amazing.
That is Mayor Bowser level trolling.
Trolling, yes. Yes, it is.
You so think then, MSN, but you think that will be on national news?
But
that
I don't.
Cowbell.
So well, okay. I think. Yeah. So the universe likes the universe despises a vacuum, and so it, the universe tries to bring people together. So then there's this dude who was interviewed by the local media. Rule one for Cub reporters. Don't interview the drunk guy. Because, so we had that, and unfortunately, this guy's not a cop. Otherwise, magic could have been made.
Hi, what is your name?
My name is Big Dick Daddy, and I'm from Cincinnati.
Big Daddy from Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
I saw you making some gestures at the police. I was wondering what's going on. What's going on here today?
Well, the cops shot somebody down here a couple nights ago, and they're going to just walk away like it's no big deal. And people like these fine folks right here say, no, it's enough, 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 enough. Give us a reason, give us an excuse, and we want to hold somebody accountable.
Okay.
You can't just go around killing people.
Hi, what is your name?
My name.
Now, hold on. I mean, because this guy's, I mean, he's probably a little drunk, but he's making sense, right? I mean, can we get a group consensus that the guy's making some sense?
He already told her his name.
Yes.
Didn't he say Big Dick Daddy from Cincinnati?
Yes, yeah. Big Dick Daddy from Cincinnati.
So why did she ask him his name?
Because the clip reset. But there's more, okay? So, but we agree he's made sense. We want people to be held accountable, right? This guy is a pro level troll too.
Can't. I mean, there's lots of people. Sure, I'd like to put a stick in, but you know.
How long is all this going to go on?
It's going to go on till it's over.
Till it's over. What's going to make this over? What are there? Are there specific demands that these people want, that you and these fellow people want?
I would like to have some pussy, and that would make it over for me. Some real good pussy.
Well, have a great day. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Hi. What is your name? What is your name?
Stop it. We know his name. It's Big Dick Daddy from Cincinnati.
And we know what he wants.
But she said big.
No, he didn't. He said big dick.
No, she said.
Yeah, she said big.
Oh, big daddy.
Yeah. She said that.
Well, if he's really big dick daddy, I want to see his long form birth certificate.
Long dong birth certificate. What?
So, I thought that was... Because it was just quality, because it was making sense, and then drop the hammer.
Kaboom.
Yeah.
Is that Tracy?
Yeah, that's Tracy.
Yeah.
Hey, sweetheart, how you doing?
Hey.
He's just late to the party.
Yeah, I just got here because I had to sign on because I was waiting for to see what the NFL was going to do, because all these NFL players were saying, I'm Ahmad, I'm George. And so now he's come out to say that NFL players he's behind them doing peaceful protests at NFL games.
Yeah, I sent Bob the quote from Goodell. Did you get that, Bob?
Yeah.
So I had to sign on for that. And also there is going to be a march in Encino tomorrow. And yes, I will probably be there.
I actually have. I went and got my hair did. Oh, I. Oh.
Can you maintain? You maintain social distance and mask and gloves?
Oh, I will be maintaining social distance, because it's literally right down the street from my house, and I will be staying in the back. If I do go. But so speaking of getting my hair done, I almost got blown up today.
Do what?
What?
So what had happened was, I was on my way to go get my hair, my locks tightened. And so I was driving down the 405 and I felt like I was running out of gas. So I got off the freeway and
were you driving Karen?
No, I wasn't driving Karen. I wasn't driving Karen. I was driving the 2004 Ford Explorer. So that was Jessica. So Jessica.
Oh, I thought that was Brad.
Brad. So Broad was just like, you know, feeling kind of ornery. So I got off the freeway. I put more gas in the car. And then I got back on the freeway. And I thought I smelled gas. But, you know, and so I got off the freeway on Crenshaw, off the 10 on Crenshaw. And this brother was blowing at me. And I'm like, you know, rolled up. He's like, yo, sis, you're leaking gas. I'm like, excuse me, what? And so I'm like, well, almost where I had to go. So another sister was like, sis, you're leaking gas. So I got to my destination. And there's this trail of gas from when I pulled into the parking lot. Thank God nobody threw a cigarette up their car or anything like that. So I called the tow truck and they came and got my car, took it to my mechanic. When I got home, I called my mechanic and he's like, you're lucky to be alive.
Ooh.
Because I had a leak in my fuel line.
Oh, that's probably worse than 1971 when my dad's brand new got it the day before Chrysler Newport dragged the gas tank halfway to Lawrenceburg, Tennessee.
So I was like he's like, how much is your life insurance policy that you had to take out on you? He's like, did you just get a big life insurance policy? And I'm like, no. He's like, are you sure? Because it looks like an inside job. I'm like, no, she didn't try to kill me. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, no. Yeah, but no, seriously, I was.
Your brakes are okay, Tracy?
Huh? Yeah, the brakes are fine.
Brakes are okay? Okay, good.
Because the brakes were fine. So I said, if the brakes and the gas line was half tripping, that would have been a clue that then she was trying to take me out. But no.
Maybe this is a good sign for the upcoming march in Encino. Just got this from Irish Dave. The Pentagon has told National Guardsmen deployed to the nation's capital, maybe can be expanded, not to use firearms or ammunition, and has issued orders to send home active duty troops that the Trump administration amassed outside the city in recent days, a sign of de-escalation in the federal response to protests in the city. This is from the Washington Post. Defense Secretary Mark T. Esper made the decision to disarm the Guard without consulting the White House after President Trump ordered a militarized show of force on the streets of Washington to quell demonstrations that were punctured by an episode of looting Sunday. I'm guessing punctuated, two senior administration officials said. Trump had encouraged the National Guard to be armed. So that's a step forward, I guess, at least. And I need to send out thanks for Elizabeth for getting us down to only $100 to go to finish the evening. That's tremendous. And working toward a clean slate for Monday. Had a note from Shorty in LA. Oh my God, Mr. Cincinnati was being a big dick. That was a Jim Carrey in Living Color moment. Hey, Tracy. Ask Tracy, did she hear Mayor Garcetti say, tell the cops they can stop being killers? Damn, girl, I'm glad you're alive. You almost fuck up your hairdo. Wait a minute. No cowbell for Shorty? Did you get that? Damn, girl, I'm glad you're alive. You almost fuck up your hairdo.
Hey, Bob.
Are you there, Tracy?
She's muted.
She's muted.
She's muted. You got me to laugh.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Bob?
Yeah.
last thing I'm going to say, then I'm just going to go mute until I leave. Do you think, am I just being weird here? Do you think that what Esper did, is it possible? Is it possible that we're about to see a 25th Amendment?
You still have to count votes. And Pence
but possible.
Infinite monkeys, infinite typewriters, and one of them comes up with Hamlet possible? Absolutely.
Because he's disobeying Trump.
I
want to see a remake of Untergang with, what's his name, about the last days of Hitler. But I think Trump would be appropriate in that role. Of course, the actor would have to be extremely intelligent to play an idiot. But it just seems like this administration each week is just getting worse. And what's the breaking point? Last week, I thought that was the breaking point.
Yeah, Otto.
Rick has a good point. Where is Pence? Maybe he's drawing stuff up. Pence? Who knows?
And today, Sparky sent this along today. As he headed to Maine, one of the newspapers in Maine published an op-ed saying, do us all a favor, resign. You've never been much in the way of a good president, but now you're an even worse one. And a note coming from Kyle, of course the police let them go because that's what they are. But we got the fascists panicking now. Fox is freaking out, talking about letting the Proud Boys go. But we got the fascists panicking now. Fox is freaking out, throwing everything against the wall. Trump can't get his tanks. The entire Buffalo emergency response team ran away because they can't stop beating the shit out of old men. Don't let up now. These are all scare tactics to get us in line. Don't do it. We're winning. They're panicking.
The evangelicals are fighting between each other now, right? Over the church kerfuffle.
Yeah.
I just wonder how things would change if the National Guard was ordered to simply go out and march with the protesters to protect the protesters from the out-of-control local police.
Good point.
To defend the First Amendment.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy just put up a $10, thankfully, Tracy wasn't blown up challenge. So that would, if met, that would get us down to $80. Thank you, Jeremy. I think we're all glad that Tracy was not blown up. Unless you're doing something.
Until Shorty, that I meant to wave by say hi to her because I was in Leimert Park and I got to be around black people for like 10 minutes. It was awesome. I love my people. I don't get to see black people very often. I didn't get. Because
don't they have some museums there though, Tracy?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
They do have, and you know, the institution of how to be white.
So was Encino Man actually shot in Encino, or is that just too much to hope for?
You know what? I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't. You know, I'm going to watch it just, or I could guess. I could just go to Internet Movie Database and see where it was shot. Because I do wonder if it was actually shot in Encino. That's a good question. It probably
wasn't. Wasn't that one of the skeletons that Louis Leakey discovered in Encino Man?
No.
Why are you talking? I don't like you, Rick. I don't.
No, Rick, that was Brendan Fraser.
Tracy.
<There you go. laughs>
Yes, Scott.
I sure am glad you didn't go up in a ball of fire.
Because
I don't know what we would do.
I would have been blacker than I already am had I
and Chris. As Red Fox used to say.
Talk to me, Chris. Be critter.
Right. How long was the vehicle leaking fuel, Tracy?
I have obviously it had to have been from when I left because I told when Jan and Alex because they were still at home, and they said when they went outside, they could smell the gas.
From
when they walked out the door. So obviously it had been leaking from when I left the house, all the way from Encino all the way to the Crenshaw district.
Did they tell you where it was leaking?
It was the fuel line.
Yeah, I know, but the fuel line runs all the way from the tank to the engine.
I think it was the entire. It was something that my mechanic had said there was going to be a problem with it, but it was something about a year or two ago. But he's like, "Yeah, it's nothing major."
What's the make and model of the vehicle?
2004 Ford Explorer.
It's nothing major until you're a fucking ball of fire going.
You may have a carbecue here and there, but no big deal. It happens all the time.
Wait. Did you say carbecue?
Carbecue, baby.
Well, you know the story about the Ford Pinto, that if you rear-ended and that was the big joke in the 70s about the Ford Pinto. You know, bought a Ford Pinto, got rear-ended, and he died.
Calling a Sig Alert for a carbecue. No, I used to drive.
Tracy, I could have went up in a ball of flame a couple of months ago. I had to have a fuel leak fixed on my car, too.
Yeah, that shit. Wait, Sparky, did our show start this week?
No, June 21st.
Oh,
what show is that?
Have you seen the trailer?
No, I haven't been really watching TV.
Go to YouTube and go Yellowstone Season 3 trailer. It is great.
Oh, which reminds me, I tried to last night. But I got to figure out a way to get my hands on HBO. I owe Scary Jerry 4 episodes of Deadwood, and I'll figure something out over the weekend.
It's on Netflix.
No, it isn't.
Prime, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
Really?
Neither one.
That's great.
I didn't know that.
Deadwood's a good show. Wow. No, it used
Tracy.
To be HBO.
Tracy,
it's on HBO. It's on Amazon Prime if you have the HBO app.
Right.
Who's the actor who's in that? He's really good.
Tracy. Yes, Tracy.
I will send you my box set of Deadwood.
Oh. You should. You can't. No, you can't do that.
Yes, I can, because you'll send it back to me.
Okay. Let me see. Hold. Don't do that yet. That's too much responsibility for me.
Bob just left for the flaming car rolling up to the Horn Mansion, and the man will toss it out, and you throw water on him, and he'll turn around.
It's
and go
no
back.
Big deal. I'll insure it. It's no big deal. I'll send it. You know what is it? Priority mail.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of stuff on HBO. I'm probably just gonna have to bite the bullet.
Yeah, it's cheap, right? It's not that expensive right now, anyway. So just get the damn subscription.
Yeah,
that part.
Right, exactly.
And you want to see Westworld anyway?
I watched it for a while, and then we just sort of. I lose patience with having to wait 3 years for the next damn season.
Well, you know what? If nothing else, you need to watch Insecure. I really do like that show, and I think you will too.
Go ahead.
No, I think you would. Hey, Scott, you have HBO, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you watch, have you watched Insecure?
No, I've got it on my list.
Is it too black for you? Is that the
No, it's
there?
Just, I haven't, it's on my list. I just haven't got.
You can't.
That
can't
was just gratuitous, Tracy.
No, I decided to have a pandemic weekend, and I got an early start. Before the show came on today, I watched the first two episodes of Angels in America, and then later tonight.
So you're going back to some show that was back on in the 90s instead of watching something relevant and culturally relevant about.
I was just in the mood for, and then after that,
a depressing show about Roy Cohn. And AIDS, instead of watching something funny and witty.
I like to see Roy Cohn die. That's all.
Okay, there's that part.
Then I'm going to watch it and the band played on.
You don't want to die. You don't want to die of AIDS. It's the worst disease.
No, I'm not. I just happen to be in the mood where I need to watch something.
You need to watch Which Fucks Suffer.
Actually, Angels in America and The Band Played On are both excellent films or series.
Oh no, I have to give you mad props on that one. You're so. Oh shit! I got an A on my poli-sci test.
Oh yeah, you.
Go Tracy.
To Michelle Porter. Yes. Now ask me if I remember anything that I took the test on. Not a goddamn lick, but goddamn it, I got an A.
Hey, before we get out of here, let's hear from Steve from Georgia Stan.
Hey, Steve, finally here.
Hey, Steve from Georgia
Stan. Hey, Steve.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Tim. How y'all doing?
Good. Oh, we're going down to the barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, Scott?
A lot going on down there.
They call them auto flambés here.
Oh, wait a minute.
Auto flambé. So how's
that? I love people fucking around at my expense, but y'all go ahead. Y'all, you know.
Well, that's okay. Tracy, here in the hills.
I'm going to get you and your little dog, too. Okay?
Here in the hills, Tracy, it's called State Farm Lightning.
Rear endings with Lindsey Graham.
Oh,
well, Bob, West Virginia governor is making the news. I noticed that he said somebody was not welcome.
I covered that two nights running.
That's
Jim's sundown. That's Jim's sundown justice now.
Oh no!
Jeez.
Oh man!
I trust Tracy knows.
No, I don't. Please enlighten.
Mike, West Virginia, great big old governor Jim Justice was just funning around when he was doing the coronavirus update. Because sometimes you just got to lighten the mood, kind of like we did there a little bit ago with the Big Dick Daddy from Cincinnati. And he was just lightening the mood, and he decided to riff a little bit about how he'd had a talk with President Donald Trump, my dear friend, and he said that he appreciated us inviting him to have the Republican National Convention in West Virginia, but they was going to go in another direction, and he said, I just always want to be in the conversation and part of the process. And in point of fact, we would be happy to have President Donald Trump right here in West Virginia, and any president, you know, except maybe Barack Obama.
No, he did not.
Oh, man.
He did.
Oh, yes,
oh,
he did.
Man. That's amazing.
Wait a minute. So he can't. Wait, hold up. So he can't say that he didn't mean to say that it was not a hot mic.
He came back and he said, I have love in my heart for everybody.
Everybody.
I don't have a racist bone in my body.
I was just
having a little fun. And of course, I reckon he'd be welcome here, but I was talking about Obama's war on coal and all the damage he done to us here in West Virginia with the Obama war on coal.
In no way, shape, form, or manner did I.
In no way, shape, form, or fashion am I any kind of a racist.
Oh man.
Okay, I'm going to say it and I'm going to say it with all the love in my heart, and I don't have a racist bone in my body, but I hate white people.
Well, Tracy, not all white people.
Okay, I hate white people.
Don't think you're going to budge on that one tonight, are you?
No.
All right, y'all. Well, it's time to wrap up, and I had a special request courtesy of our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest, and I got to make sure that I'm done being Jim Justice for a minute because I don't want it. But Jude sent me a note last night saying Women Standing wants to dedicate a portion of Friday on the Front Porch to this version of He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. sharing an experience from Seattle's Peace Stand, June the 3rd, 2020. Jude goes out. She founded Women Standing. And she goes out and she stands in silent, intentional, laser beam focus on issues of peace and justice. And it is a moving thing to behold. Quite often she is accompanied by combat boots, flowers, and in some instances, baby shoes. And it is moving indeed. So with that in mind, the request that Jude put forth, this version of He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother.
The road is long, with a many a winding tongue that leads us to who knows where, who knows where. But I'm strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. All right. My brother.
Hollies. Alan Clark on the vocal, 1969. Elton John on the piano. How about that? And he ain't heavy. He's my brother. And that's for our dear sister Jude in the great Northwest. Thank you, Jude. Thank you for all you do. I guess it's time to wrap things up. Congratulations coming in to Tracy Darlene saying congrats for the A on your test. Jeremy with a note, Tracy, I'm white and I hate white people too. Sometimes you just got white people. Randy in PA sympathizing with Tracy. Happened to me during college days when the hose came loose for my fuel pump and sprayed gasoline all over my engine compartment on my VW bus. Fortunately, nothing happened. Anything with, really hot things and gasoline that don't involve explosions are usually, fortunately, nothing happened. Kyle with a note. I ain't a racist, but, oh, Jesus Christ, I should have got the hockey puck when you mentioned Jim Justice. Now I got my dog all upset at me. Jimmy says, Bob, we're waiting for your sitcom. Jim Justice is just too easy. Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air with your kind contributions, your gifts. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you, Sparky, and the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves for Friday on the front porch. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and in environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. If you're going to protest anytime soon, stay safe, keep your social distance, wear your gloves, wear your mask. And if you see a maggot coming toward you, avoid them like the plague, because that's what they are. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.